Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, issue 22. This is the special birthday edition because yesterday was my birthday. And everybody was kind enough here. They got me a present and a cake. And we're having beverages, although non-alcoholic, because that's been ruled out, Rich and Chad. And so this is our monthly previews episode, but we're going to go over the previews. A couple of things I want to talk about. Joe's back, and he's going to do his Holy Terror dissertation. First thing I want to talk about, my wonderful wife got me an iPad for my birthday. And so I've been fussing around with it and playing with it and didn't read any of today's comics. But so, of course, I downloaded a couple free comics to look at it, and my initial impression is I don't like it. But that's because I'm a old guy, according to these guys. And it might take me something to get used to, but I'm still a print guy. I like it better than reading on the computer. But overall, I think I was telling Jeremy, because I know Jeremy reads a lot on his iPad, just that I tend to, if there's nothing going on the page, especially caption-wise or dialogue-wise, you just tend to move past it, and you don't spend the time that you normally do on a page kind of looking at everything. That's what I found. I'm not looking at the detail of the artwork. One was a big double-page spread of George Perez that I just flipped right past because nothing was going on, so... But that could just be me. I may be biased. It was a DC book, though. So that's it. That's just my initial impressions.
How about Aquaman's codpiece?
But, so... Oh, you poor people listening at home. I have no idea.
Podcast land is...
But
today's secret
word. Yes.
But so what we're gonna jump into, Joe had a big thing playing last week, but he had to go do a fantasy hockey draft. But he...
Wait, should we introduce ourselves before we jump in?
Oh, absolutely. Topic? Thank you. Yes. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Justin Pinto.
Jeremy Dan.
Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
Matt Lytle.
Joe F., 20-year reader.
And sadly, Nick is at the New York Comic Con, so will not be joining us, so we will not have any continuity talk. And now I'm going to turn the table over to Joe. Now, I crash-read Holy Terror.
Thanks, Colin. I appreciate you reading that.
Yes. Well, no, I read it because I wanted to read it for him. I just didn't have a chance to.
It seems like a lot of people that I've asked about Holy Terror, I've met with the same reaction. You know, a lot of people passed on it. A lot of people are saying, yeah, you know, it's probably going to be the first Miller book that I don't read. But I was really excited. I bought Holy Terror the day it came out.
Where'd you buy that?
Pittsburgh Comics. I think it's still available for anybody who's convinced by my review here. Anyway, I'm a big fan of Frank Miller. I've been following Frank Miller for a while. I mean, I've read Sin City, Give Me Liberty, All-Star Batman and Robin, Ronin, Dark Knight Returns, Daredevil, Elektra Assassin. And a lot of the stuff in Holy Terror kind of, you know, it's more signature Miller. It's like the things that you loved in 300 and and Sin City are all in Holy Terror. You know, it's the same landscape format like 300 with big, big battles and huge landscape shots. It's spot color on black and white, you know. So that's an interesting design choice, actually. The spot color was Catwoman's eyes and boots. And if anybody doesn't know, Holy Terror is Frank Miller's long-discussed, though just recently released, graphic novel of Batman and Catwoman versus Al-Qaeda. Although it's Batman and Catwoman analogs, because with the size of Frank Miller's ego at this stage in the game, you know, I'm sure that he made the choice to depart from DC. You know, he couldn't work with an editor. When I say that it's a signature Miller move, Catwoman is more portrayed closer to Elektra than the Catwoman that we typically see. Another signature Miller move is that the superheroes hook up. So Batman and Catwoman hook up, you know, similar to the way Batman and Black Canary hooked up in All-Star Batman and Robin, and Superman and Wonder Woman hooked up in Dark Knight Strikes Again. And there's a hard political influence. So, I mean, you know, considering that it's Batman versus Al-Qaeda, you can hardly miss the hard political influence. And that's really what stuck out to me the most, how this is very similar to Elektra Assassin. You know, if anyone has not read Elektra Assassin, the whole idea of Elektra Assassin was that post-Nixon, the idea was that any candidate looked good compared to Nixon. So the Democratic candidate running was possessed by the beast, the demon that runs the hand, and he wanted to get control of nuclear weapons and destroy the Earth. Anyway, so this kind of like is that same hard political influence for today. There's some cool storytelling tricks in it. Like there's a really cool storytelling trick in the middle where Al-Qaeda finally attacks, and the way that they display the attack, you know, it's something that it's just something really unusual. What do you think of
just
that?
Just the empty boxes?
Yeah. So it shows like the whole city, a headshot on a number of different faces, and then to demonstrate that they're being killed, the grid expands further and further and then goes to blank.
Yeah.
So anyway, when I first read it, I thought this guy lost his mind. But
see, I'm at that point right now. So where after reading it, I think he lost his mind.
And see, I told you, like, that's how I thought at first. Yeah. But the more I thought about it, the more that I picked up on, you know, I thought about it and I remembered all these signature Miller moves. And I said to myself, you know, why wasn't I just expecting him to do whatever he wanted, go crazy, and tell a signature Miller story? And that's really what it is, you know. And 2 weeks later, thinking back on it, I do like it. I'm glad I made the purchase, you know.
Yeah, my problem, it wasn't the story or anything. A lot of my problems with it, just the art was, I mean, it might take me a little time looking at it again. I remember when Sin City came out. I remember initially looking at it and going, wow, what's this, and putting it back. And then when I finally did get it and really looked at it, the detail in the art that you couldn't tell right away was there. The way you use the white on the black, things like that, where this one just seemed just sloppy, and for something he's been working on so long, just seemed really, you know, like he could have knocked it out in a weekend. It just, you know, it took a marker. You know, it didn't look like the care and everything was there, especially early on. There was a lot of like almost like white dry brush strokes over the art, and then like thumbprint. And I'm not quite sure what he was going for other than making it look messy. I understand if he was trying to make it look like it was rain or something, but just overall it looked messy to me. And then especially later on, some of the art just looked really, really almost not childish, but not frankly.
See, I looked at it and I said to myself, this is an artist having a ball. You know, this isn't an artist agonizing over every single brushstroke. This is a guy playing it fast and loose and doing whatever he wants, because he's at a stage in his career where he doesn't have to agonize over every brushstroke, and he doesn't have to cater to an editor or, you know, let an anchor change his initial view on what it should look like. He can play it fast and loose, put what he wants on the table.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I might need to look at it again. I did, like I said, I did read it quickly. I didn't, especially near the end, there was some really heavy, or pages just filled with dialogue that, trying to get through it, I missed.
I disagree with you, though, because I haven't read the story, so I can't comment on the story.
So then why are you talking?
Because I can look at the art, and I think the de-evolution of Frank Miller's art, while he's perfectly, you know, at liberty to do that, it's his artistic merit, I think it does a disservice to the type kind of storytelling he wants to do. Like, the blocky style that he did, you know, kind of reached its pinnacle with Dark Knight Returns. But even in Sin City, it was very good. Like, the black and white, what he was able to do with a black and white story was amazing. But I feel like somewhere around Sin City, Frank Miller stalled creatively. Because Dark Knight Strikes Again, like, I didn't have as much problem as some people did, but it had that kind of sloppiness to it that you're talking about in here, and this seems like the next stage in that. And I think it's just something where he reached that, like, creative peak, and you know, he's trying something new because he wants to, but it's just not.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Frank Miller story?
The Elektra Saga from Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
That
I haven't read. Just for the record.
Have you read any Frank Miller's?
Dark Knight Returns, 300, Sin City.
I mean, I like Dark Knight Returns, but when he made that kind of stylistic transition from his Daredevil work to the Dark Knight Returns, I'm not as big a fan of it. I think his Daredevil art is absolutely his creative pinnacle, and it's, in my opinion, perfect comic book art.
Really?
Just what he did with the layout, the panel design, his line work. His Daredevil Elektra Saga is perfect.
Dark Knight stuff was cool.
Dark Knight Returns is an amazing story. And since that period, I have enjoyed Frank Miller, the storyteller, far, far more than Frank Miller, the artist. And in the case of Holy Terror, it's the art just kind of turned me off to the story, and it doesn't make me want to pick it up. Like, I'm not the politics of it, the story of it, you know, they don't really affect me one way or the other, but I wasn't wholly interested in it. And even if this was the original Batman story that it was supposed to be, I don't even know if that would have been enough to make me really excited about it. So,
great counterpoint, Jeremy.
I don't know. I love Frank Miller, and this, talking about Holy Terror makes me think about what I don't know if we discussed it on the podcast, but last week, the new Avengers .1 issue came out, and I took that .1 issue home and was so excited because, you know, you look at the box and who's the artist on the box? Neil Adams. You know, the Neil Adams. And I just looked through that art and was so sad for Neil Adams.
We did talk about that, didn't we?
And,
yeah. I think we mentioned it a little bit.
And I feel the same way with Frank Miller's Holy Terror. It's like Frank Miller used to be, you know, the Frank Miller name and lights, like with Daredevil and Dark Knight Returns, but now it's just not the same. It's like you can't go home again. It's like you hit those peaks. And I think, I don't blame these guys, because I think a lot of these guys, when you have that type of success, people expect that out of you, or you get bored with it. Like, you're constantly trying to capture that lightning in a bottle, and unfortunately, I think sometimes you can't. And I think it's a fascinating look, and, you know, in the last week, both of these guys, who are two of my dear, dear favorites, you know, I would put Frank Miller's Daredevil up against any comic book ever produced, including Watchmen, you know, and argue with you that it is some of the greatest comics ever made. But with this, it falls so short flat of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll need to give it another look. But yeah, I mean, I have a Frank Miller Daredevil sketch at home on the wall. Yeah. So, and he's what got me into collecting, so. Yeah, I'll have to give him another look. And I think another part of the problem is it's been, you know, 10 years since the events that led to creating this book. They're kind of
It's like the old, perfect example of, do you want to wait it out and have one guy's name in the credit box, or do you want a number of artists to push it through and get the story out in a timely manner?
But the other thing is, it's not like he's been doing a lot. I mean, he did 10 issues of All-Star Batman and Robin.
He directed Sin City. Directed The Spirit.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about The Spirit. Yeah.
But it doesn't even come across like...
Fine.
It doesn't even come across as any type of cathartic work. That it was kind of... You know, a lot of the interviews over the last few years, they talk about this being a soulful, cathartic kind of work. And really kind of flipping through it, looking at the art, looking at what bit of the story... It's a Frank Miller hard-boiled story.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because it's not... After reading it, I was expecting it to be a cathartic work. However, I think what Frank Miller was trying... The point that he was trying to get across was that the war on terror is never ending.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to get the point across that no matter if Batman fights the people that did the attack on Gotham City, there's always going to be another terrorist to take their place.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like real life in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I don't.
It's like the modern day Captain America fighting Hitler. You know, it's Batman fighting Al-Qaeda
right.
equates
right.
to Cap fighting Hitler in the 50s.
And, you know, you don't see that too much anymore.
No.
Even Stan Lee mentioned, because you figured, you know, after we were hitting the terrorist attacks, they would have had more about that like they did, you know,
mm-hmm.
after... when we got into World War II, but I think Stan Lee even said, I watched something before, he said that they couldn't just go around and have somebody, like, attacking Muslims, you know, just going up to them because it would cause more controversy, but with Nazis it was, you know, different to use that, but you don't see that too much in any of the books after that, so that's kind of a cool thing.
Right. Nazis were the ultimate bad guys. Growing up, I wondered, you know, why does everybody fight Nazis? Indiana Jones fighting Nazis.
They're a safe villain because universally everybody agrees that they're bad.
Yeah.
You know, where it's kind of an apolitical political villain. You know, it's like a real world political type villain, but... There's no controversy. They're safe.
There's no gray area. There's no one out there saying, well, you know, I was kind of on board with those guys.
So what's the
scene? Joe, I had no idea.
don't go selectively
what?
Editing that quote.
Joe, what's the significance of Catwoman's shoes being, the soles of Catwoman's shoes being orange?
Well, you know, the spot coloring has been... an interesting choice throughout Sin City.
Yeah.
We had that yellow bastard who had yellow skin. We had the babe who wore red, who had a red dress. I think it was just...
There's another one that Delia was blue, had a blue dress.
Yeah. Right.
It's
right.
a great visual
yeah.
technique. And that's the one thing, you know, while the line work is very rough and somewhat sloppy, the one thing Miller does and continues to do, even, you know, what little bit I flipped through this... is he does an amazing job of balancing the black and white color on the page and throwing those accent colors in to really, you know, it pops and you notice it and it's used well.
And there's a point later on where she's in disguise, but you know it's her because it's the green eyes. And,
right.
You know, he does do that. No, I mean, I... Yeah.
Good catch.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no.
Eyes.
That much of a catch, but yeah,
it would have definitely been interesting if he had been able to get this out, you know, 5 or 6 years ago,
like
he wanted to, if we would have a different reaction to it.
So, okay, well, that was fun. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. You can do that with more stuff too. And anybody else, if there's a book that you really want to talk about, something, it doesn't even have to be current, it can be old. Please, you know, everybody here and everybody at home, if there's something that you love and you want to come talk about, we'll certainly make time to talk about it.
Well, so Harry Potter books. Never mind.
There's no pictures in those books. We already talked about that. No.
Forgeticus.
Chapter illustrations don't count.
That word Voldemort. Yeah. Let's move on.
Don't say it.
Oh,
sorry.
It's okay. He's been taken care of.
Okay. We're going to move on to what we were going to talk about. We'll go through the previews today. And actually, I was going to do just a little bit, but the people seem to want to do more, so we'll do as much as we can. Basically, I'm just going to hit the things that kind of jump out at me. I'm not going to talk about every item in the book, because that would be mind-numbingly boring. I did just kind of blow through it last night. Just trying to get caught up. I'm just feel behind on everything right now. So we'll start with the Marvel previews.
I have to say the Marvel's first page doesn't start off well.
It does not, only because it's first page, open it up, Battle Scars number 2, and just little things that jump out to me. It has 3 writers. Not always a great sign. And you have a blacked out character on the cover. It's like, okay, but I have a really good feeling that that's going to be revealed long before the book comes out.
And it comes across like an anthology book.
So there's 3 different stories, or 4 different stories, 3 different writers.
Is this spinning out of Fear Itself?
It's spinning out of Fear Itself, but then it's bringing in a new guy who now they've named. They haven't shown him to us yet, but they're naming him U.S. Army Ranger Marcus Johnson.
I will say, kind of this page leading into the next page that you're about to talk about, you know, they put these images in here to sell us and to sell you on the books, and... prior to these solicits, I was, of all the spinoffs, I thought, oh, this Battle Scars looks interesting. It looked like a military, globe-trotting, political kind of thing. And, you know, kind of with that solicit, the bullet points, it's lessened my interest in it a lot. Whereas just my initial look through the previews, when you turn that page, that Art Adams looks fantastic, and I had absolutely no interest, but I see that image, and it makes me, ooh, I want to get that. But then I see the line at the bottom of the solicit that it's not the final cover. So it's like...
Oh, even better, yeah. Because this was a promo image they had given to us,
And it's a really cool piece of art by
Art Adams. It's a neat cover, but it leads to part of my problem with the whole... the Fearless, which I think starts next week, is it's a Valkyrie sin book, and I just don't know if there's enough... I mean, I don't even remember Valkyrie in Fear itself. Yeah. And Sin obviously is depowered, so it says the serpent triumphant. Well, I'm going to guess no, since she's no longer Scotty.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they can... These two will do a six-month-long bi-weekly miniseries.
Like they're doing whatever it is they're going to do to Thor, and they seem to be positioning her to kind of
take over,
take his place.
And another one,
and
again...
there's the Defenders tie.
Yeah. And again, you have the three writers again, which is always a little concerned. Then next page, we got two Defenders reprint books. Well, a reprint book and a handbook, so nothing exciting there. And then the Defenders number one. Now, I love the Defenders back in the day, you know, with Gargoyle and Valkyrie and all those guys. That was a lot of fun.
Defenders
and it's looked... Yeah, they're trying to relaunch this with most of the old... Most of the cast with, I guess, Iron Fist being added. I don't know why. But he's still in his white outfit that I remember something from New Avengers that they seem to have forgotten that plot line along the way when it got tied into Fear itself. My only concern when I see something like this, there's five different variant covers for this.
Yeah.
It's like, do we really...
And that's Betty Red Hulk taking the place of Hulk, although it looks like Hulk might be...
I don't know who that's supposed
who
to be
is
in the background. Yeah. I don't know. But it'd be nice to get Doctor Strange back, because he is one of my favorite characters, so...
I love the ways he puts his hands...
Yeah, Ditko hands.
Isn't just Spider-Man hands, but up instead of...
Yes, but hey, it's still Ditko created.
Right, yeah, exactly. No,
so.
It's good. It's
okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now Shattered Heroes. We're getting Journey into Mystery is still the Loki story, which is okay. It looks like he's getting a dragon for a gift or something. But Avengers Academy, which is odd that it's not with the other Avengers books.
Well, they're positioning it almost as its own thing because they're moving out west and they're going to become Junior West Coast Avengers. And X-23 is joining.
Right.
The
well, you can get that. It tells you there.
She's moving away from the X universe and into the Avengers universe.
Okay.
See, that's all we need is another Avengers team.
Yeah.
Well, they're supposed to be more like the Teen Titans, the junior team that's learning to be heroes.
Whatever happened to the Young Avengers? Did they just like quit or something?
I think they're waiting for Heinberg to decide to do another series because it was well loved. But yeah, we only seem to get them in little miniseries and things.
There's what, two issues left or one issue left? It's supposed to be 9 issues, and I think.
Which one?
7 or 8 has shipped.
Oh, the Children's Crusade. Yeah,
and,
I think
and
7.
And Children's Crusade, the time period seems to be like a lot later than... It's not present. It's more past.
I've been waiting for it to
Wonder
finish.
Wonder Man is still Wonder Man, like how he used to be.
He's not angry?
He's not, yeah. He's actually with the Avengers.
Well, that's
like,
because it
them.
Started 2 years ago when he wasn't angry.
Yeah.
If you look at the costumes and the fact that Captain America and Iron Man are still friends, it has to be pre-Civil War. Because it's the Cap and Iron Man are in the older costumes. It's still Rogers, and they're still friends.
Okay, I'm confused.
Now the only thing that
has to be
wait for the trade.
The only thing that really confuses me is one of the characters they brought back, which I don't want to ruin it.
Don't ruin it
for us.
Spoilers.
It doesn't make any sense why they're there.
Okay, we'll find out. Okay, moving ahead. Mighty Thor number 9, very confusing because the last one was introducing Tanaris, and now we have Thor back. Now, I realize it looks like it might be in Valhalla, if there is one anymore. I don't remember after all the things Loki did. Yeah. So I'm very confused with the Thor universe. Now, granted, I have not been reading the Mighty Thor, so that's
my
fault.
The first arc was good, but just the story things they're talking about in the last few solicits... just don't make sense.
Except Thor was alive in the first arc of Thor that took place
after
Fear itself, which he was supposed to die in.
But it's not over yet, is it?
Next week,
yes. Okay. Incredible Hulk. Hard to pass judgment. We're still waiting for number one. I've read number one. It was okay. It was good.
Yeah.
It was interesting. This could be an interesting series. The only thing, it has a, I don't know if it's a pet peeve for me, but there's a government agency is going to get the Hulk to take on Banner, but the person from the government agency's last name is Von Doom. But she's no relation. She makes the point of saying, you know, I'm Martha Von Doom or whatever her name is. No relation. I'm like, why in the world would you name a character that? And then, you know, just, like we were talking about Hitler before, you know, you don't name a character Hitler and then say, oh, no relation.
It's funny. I just hope that if for any reason Silvestri gets behind on the art, that they're not afraid to change the artist, because this is, you know, their Hulk book. It's a huge relaunch, and I would just hate that it to lose any momentum it might get to art delays. Yeah.
Silvestri's like the one superstar that stays on track because he's not afraid to pass it off to his studio mates.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. It's Amanda Von Doom. Sorry, it's right there in the solicit.
You were so off.
Invincible Iron Man. Now, Matt can probably correct me because I'm wrong, but the last time I remember seeing the Mandarin, he had no hands and the rings were welded to his spine.
That was the last time I saw him.
Okay, so here he is on the cover with his rings on his hands.
He doesn't look like the Mandarin. Like,
I don't know, it says the Mandarin.
No. I agreed. But
yeah,
like, it looks like Bizarro Tony Stark.
That's what he looks like.
He looks like Green Lantern, well, Sinestro that, Tony Stark.
Yeah, LaRocca does a lot of that.
He first appeared again in the last Iron Man annual. I think that's what
I remember, yeah.
Everything that's happening.
Oh, that perfect issue of perfect storytelling is what they called it, yes. Yeah.
The first digital same-day Marvel.
Yeah, it was not perfect.
It wasn't.
I think, though, in that they explain why he is...
I love Iron Man, but that was
the way he is now.
Okay, Avengers... Okay. Captain America...
I like the cover on 20.
It's still moving ahead. The Captain America story isn't doing it for me, but it's Captain America is good.
Can we say something great about Avengers?
Sure.
No more JRJR art.
Well, for this issue.
Oh, come on now. Kino took over.
And just to warn you guys, well, not to warn, but all these Marvel variants that are really cool that they're showing, they're all 1 in 50, which means I have to order 50 copies of the book in order to get one copy of this in. And there is not a single Marvel title that I order 50 of. So I can get these, but they're going to be expensive. So Avengers 1959, first issue, not well received, or at least not much interest in it, sadly. I think I sold 3 or 4.
Did anybody see on the internet the big spoiler ending that they're...
I saw it on... I didn't click through.
On number one.
Don't ruin it.
I won't ruin it. I was just curious if anybody saw it. It's kind of a half really, really groan.
Oh, great.
Those are the best.
Issue one.
The issue one cliffhanger.
Okay. But that was from last week.
You're on a spoiler, Ben. I don't remember it.
Well, I didn't read it yet. It's in my bag.
Unless you read it on the internet.
Avengers Solo.
Did that come out today?
No.
Next week?
My guess. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But just... it's like they want a Hawkeye book out there so bad, but they won't give him his own series. This is, the fourth or maybe fifth Hawkeye
and
mini?
But the strange thing is it's been Jim McCann and that Jan Van Meter. Like, they've been done almost all of them, so it's like they've kept the same writer, but...
Yeah, just very, very odd. New Avengers by that crappy artist. but I find it very interesting looking at this picture is I don't know who this third person is next to Osborn, but two of them are from the bad guys from Secret Warriors.
You'll understand when you're in today's New Avengers.
Okay, didn't get to. Okay, Secret Avengers, another Ellis book.
I want to send a complaint to Marvel because they put, like, the story of the last two Secret Avengers has not been good. But these covers they've been putting them on are pretty cool.
You like that one?
I really
like Cassidy. Yeah,
I like the Aja cool cover for the Shang-Chi.
Here's my problem with this one, just from the outset, is it's got Alex Malev inside, which is not going to look anything like the cover, which is one of those you normally don't want a dramatic difference from cover
this,
to inside.
This book we've talked about, I think, before, it really seems to have lost its way.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing because when they relaunched all the Avengers titles, Secret Avengers was head and shoulders the best.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be an all-star run, you know, Ellis.
Well, no, I mean, it started off Brubaker.
And then it was supposed to be...
Yeah. Oh, right. No, I understand.
But then it was supposed to be, like, Nick Spencer and these Ellis issues are, like, the placeholders for when Spencer starts. But It's like Colin has said about other things. The concern is that it's going to lose so much steam on this that by the time Nick Spencer takes over, it could be the greatest comic ever. But who's going
to
be reading
it? It seems like that's what they're trying to do, though, because this was kind of their Black Ops Avengers book, and then it totally just toned down completely.
Yeah, it lost its way.
It's good-ass sci-fi.
Well, it was neat when it was Shang-Chi. I'm a Shang-Chi fan, so I enjoyed that where he's going. And that was fun, and then all of a sudden, just again, another book got derailed by Fear Itself.
But there was a point to everything. Like, it was, they were trying to, you know, they had this Black Ops team going up against this unknown threat. And that was kind of neat. Now you're going after these like ridiculous, you know, short story, you know, characters that
That whole thing with Nova and the serpent helmet, everything was building, and then it just got totally derailed by Fear Itself.
Yeah, it was like these old issues of points of Avengers continuity spun into this Black Ops. Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Truthfully, Fear Itself has done that with a lot of their books, even like Iron Man. Iron Man is really just, you know, like you're looking at this last one we were just looking at with the Mandarin. There was a story going on about that, but, you know, how long ago was that?
You don't like Pepper fighting the Grey Gargoyle? With
no, because that's... her suit is supposed to not even be able to have... It has no weapons on it. It's all just for rescuing. How she's going up against the Grey Gargoyle makes no sense, especially this new, you know, hopped-up Grey Gargoyle. I don't know what Asgardians do on their free time, but...
Okay, next. One met to a lot of groans when it was revealed. Avengers X Sanction by Loeb and McGinnis.
I thought they were writing the Cable book, but is this the Cable
this
book?
This is the I don't know. It was supposed to be Cable Reborn, so I don't know if this is coming out before it.
No, I think this is Cable coming back. I just think Cable Reborn was kind of a buzz phrase at the time.
Right,
okay.
This is the book.
This is it. Yeah, wait, just.
Are we sure Liefeld didn't draw that big honking gun and all them pouches?
That's a big gun.
This is the project Ed McGuinness was born to draw, though. Cable.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
All that 90s excess pouches and guns.
His teeth have pouches.
But yeah, the countdown to 2012 status quo shattering epic begins here, and that alone scares me.
Coincidentally,
do we need another epic? We haven't finished the current epic. Do we need another? You know, it's like.
But the problem. The problem with this will be the epic, the mini epic, while the large epic is going on. That has nothing to do with it. We have Spider Island, Fear Itself,
Fear Itself, Regenesis. Next week, Spider Island should be over in 2 weeks.
Better.
I mean, I don't read a lot of Marvel.
Not to mention the fact that, as you know, recently as Civil War, Captain America and Cable were like best buddies.
Well, but here's the question: how is this going to set the status quo for 2012?
It's going to give them a reason to cancel the series and relaunch in time for the movie.
Jeff Loeb is writing it; it won't be done until 2013.
It just doesn't make sense. Like I said, I don't read a lot of Marvel. This doesn't make sense to me. Where they just had earth-shattering ramifications out of Schism. They're relaunching the whole X universe to some degree with Team Wolverine versus Team Cyclops. They're moving other teams. Marvel just seems to be expanding so much of their...
Yeah.
Like every, for a while, it was just, how many books can we put Wolverine in? And then it seemed to shift to Deadpool. How many books can we put Deadpool in? But now it's like, well, how many titles can we get of every book? We need 6 Avengers books. We need 7 different... Everything seems to be earth-shattering, like you said. Schism was supposed to be the canceled Uncanny X-Men. Like, we had to cancel the book because it was so huge. Well, now Fear Itself was shattering, and but now we're announcing the 2012 shattering event, and we're not even done with the previous two events. Like, we haven't seen the ramifications of their last event, and we're starting the next event.
Yeah. But Marvel always does that. Yeah. And, I mean, DC's had 2 big events this year.
But DC shut down their whole universe while they did one event. Like, they shut down. There wasn't any books but Flashpoint books.
No, there were other books coming out that were pointless because they didn't count
anymore. They were wrapping up,
I mean, but
Flashpoint and the whole relaunch are huge events, whether they want to acknowledge the second one as an event or not.
It's definitely an event. I mean, relaunch 52 new number ones is definitely an event, but...
Marvel seems to have too much going on at one time, though.
It just, and it doesn't necessarily all... I mean, not that they're ever going to fit together. You can't read more than 2 comic books and hope that they all agree with each other, because there's just too much information out there.
Well, it's almost like Marvel tries. Think about it this way. How many people have quit Fear Itself because it's garbage?
And how many people well, are going to
buy it? I have not read it, but
this.
I keep buying it.
Fear itself in itself isn't garbage, but we didn't need all the minis. We didn't need a tying up Iron Man all this time, tying up Thor or Journey into Mystery, tying up Avengers. It's just kind of derailed those books, especially like the Avengers, all those lovely. You had your say, and now you have to leave. Jeremy's abandoning us. Well, fine. We didn't want you here anyway.
That's cool.
Don't worry.
But
readers are in control. As a reader, you don't have to buy every single thing.
I don't disagree with you, but it just seems to me like they're trying to do too much.
Yeah.
And it seems like to me, and I'm mainly DC, and I've branched into Marvel. I read very little Marvel. I read like Uncanny. Well, I buy very little Marvel. I haven't read any of it.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in very little of it, I should say. But like you guys seem to be big time readers, and a lot of these things we go through, you're like, well, I remember when this was great, and I remember when I didn't look forward to it.
Are you guys
it,
sure you like comics?
So it's kind of the opposite, though. It was crap, great.
Yeah, but now it seems.
I like that system.
It was.
I get a lot more people just saying, is it over with? Is it going to be done with? Can I get my Avengers back? Can I get my Iron Man back? And I have to agree.
It just seems kind of interesting that Marvel and DC are kind of two polar opposites on the spectrum of what they're doing with their universes. And I don't read Marvel, so with Fear Itself and all these other things going on, are there editor's boxes everywhere telling you where these fit in?
No, that would be nice. But I'm just saying, like, even going back to DC, you could have read the last year of Detective without having to read anything else.
Right.
But if you wanted to try to read the last year of Iron Man, you'd have no idea what's going on without understanding.
Hold it. Those text boxes that drew nice lines where everything went was when there was Batman, Detective, and Teen Titans, and those characters, and Justice League, and those characters didn't appear anywhere else. There wasn't Batman, Detective, Batman and Robin, Batman the Dark Knight,
right?
You know, Teen Titans, Robin, Azrael, Catwoman, Batgirl.
But rarely do they do something that crosses through all of them, or a big event that affects some of the books, but not all the books.
What? Some of R.I.P., Final Crisis, Return of Bruce Wayne.
I guess what I was getting.
Doomsday.
What I was getting.
That didn't hit Batman, but it hit all the super books.
Right. No. It hits. No. It's really hit some. But I'm just thinking.
Green Lantern, Black Knight.
Since Batman has gone to like his standard 8 titles a month, it seems like there has not really been an event. The only event that I can think that stretched into every book, obviously, is Bruce Wayne the Road Home.
Right.
Every book had a Bruce Wayne the Road Home tie-in.
But
they weren't necessarily
they were individual,
they were separate books with that title.
But I'm just saying,
it wasn't Batman and Robin 20.
With these right now, all your big Marvel books are tying into this big event.
And I
if
think
you don't want to read that big event, I've had people say, hold my sub until this is over, and then I'll start getting it again. That's not good, because then there's always the chance that they say, never mind.
And I think that's why a lot of people are getting tired of it really quick, because they don't have anything to escape to.
Well, the other thing is
Fear Itself.
It's seven issue series, which means 7 months. That's a long period of time.
Nine at this point.
Yeah, right. I mean, the nice thing about reading is monthly, maybe even bi-monthly, you get a book. Maybe there's an event somewhere along the line, but I mean, a 7-issue event is a long event. I mean, like Colin said, that's seven months with no delays. If you hit delays, which it inevitably seems to always happen.
But everybody has big events.
Absolutely. But Marvel just seems to be always in the midst of a big event.
Yeah.
Well, but that was all the Superman books. We didn't really get a lot of
that.
Yeah,
that did so well.
Yeah, that was the. I guess what I was getting at was that it seems like Marvel is letting, Marvel's event affects the universe so much in this, shared universe concept that Marvel and DC use with their characters. Fear Itself is affecting the books so much where it's hard for people to tell now what's happening when. Like, Colin, you've mentioned a lot that, I don't know if you guys have even found out what happened to Bucky because he was stuck in that Russian gulag.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you said in the beginning of Fear Itself he was out, but they didn't explain how.
Yeah.
Whereas, an editor's box could clear that up. It takes place before or after that issue of Captain America.
Yeah, I think somebody said it did.
He got out, killed, and there's a funeral.
Oh, well, there you go.
Where was the funeral?
Coming.
Oh, it hasn't happened. Oh, is that the point two?
One.
Right.
One? Okay.
One, but then,
I thought
two is.
You mean he's been sent for 7 months?
Iron Man. Yeah.
He's basting.
Yeah.
No. But whereas DC, especially with the new 52, really seems like they're playing so. I don't want to say. They're playing it so close to the chest with how all these books connect that it seems like readers are having a, like, the bizarro problem with it, where, you know, everyone wants to know how Action Comics is going to relate to Superman and Justice League and where the timeline fits, but they're not giving us enough information. Whereas Marvel is trying to give you, I don't want to say, like, too much information about all the books tying into the event. DC seems like we're getting so little information,
but
that
you're kind of comparing apples and oranges right now.
Right,
DC
am, yeah.
just kind of punted and said,
yes.
F everything we have except for Batman and Green Lantern because
yeah.
they're selling. Whereas Marvel's still trying to develop plot lines that have been going on for
right.
ever.
No, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Because they've
it's
never
not...
punted like DC does. Every
well,
six
yes
years.
And no, but they but
it's
Fear itself
comparison.
Hasn't been going on forever. Fear itself was
no,
out of the blue.
War and Captain America and stories and history
yeah.
and Asgard.
Well,
and,
sure,
right.
But
it, I guess I mean
well,
DC kind of just kicked it and said, you
"No,
know what?
But
everything starts over. History is what we want it to be."
Right. No, but they've done that with Thor. They completely got rid of the Donald Blake thing in Thor, and
well,
they keep changing that.
Blake was in
barely, but he hasn't been in it. When was the last time he was been in the book?
Relaunch.
Yeah,
they're always going to do yeah. something because that's part of the problem.
But DC did a wholesale punt, right? DC
yeah,
said,
yeah.
F it, punt. Whereas Marvel's done selective.
Right.
Yeah, like they just relaunched. It was like 3 pages ago. We were talking about the new Hulk. You know, it's, he's coming back. It's the number one.
But it's not
right.
It's not a reboot. Everything
well, it has to be
with
a
the
reboot.
Hulk has happened with the Hulk.
Well,
it's not
okay.
like he didn't
well,
get gamma rated. He didn't have.
I think
rated.
Part of the frustration with the New 52 is they won't tell you what they're ignoring, what happened.
Yeah.
They're kind of trying
but
to have everything. They want all the buzz.
That's smart.
Yeah,
because
and that's kind of annoying to us who've been reading.
If they make a story decision in 6 months, mm-hmm.
They
can
do whatever they want.
They can selectively just say, you know what, that thing you're worried about never happened. Don't worry about it.
I guess that's where my example came from because I likened it to Colin, your situation with Bucky, where you know you don't know what happened with him in the gulag. But now he's in Fear itself, so maybe it's the same situation. Maybe they're playing it by ear, saying, you know, how does this go? If people still respond to his death in Fear itself, you know, maybe we can just, you know, write ourselves out of a corner with the actual Captain America book and vice versa with Superman. You know, people are wondering how do we go from Action Comics Superman to Superman Superman or Justice League Superman. You know, there's not enough information there yet, but the gap is left for both publishers to sort of fiddle with it. But it does seem to be creating...
Bucky's
Stir.
Dead. I mean, we saw a big hole in his chest.
Right, yeah.
Unless
no
he's
never dead.
Yeah.
But one thing that just messes with me is the none of these books that tie into it, like your Avengers books and stuff like that, they don't really add anything to Fear itself. Like, you can read Fear itself, and then you can read the Avengers books, and you don't have anything coming from it that's, like, new. But it's basically a retelling of the events that just happened in Fear itself.
That's good and it's bad, because a reader can pick up Fear itself 1 through 7 and get a whole story.
Right.
But it's boring
but it's
me with Avengers.
That the people like us who read everything sit there and go,
right.
All right, well, this month we saw the Hulk get smacked in the head with a hammer and get thrown into outer space. We saw Hulk fight this dude in the Middle East, and we saw, you know, the Hulk do something else, right? It's like, these books all came out at the same time. Let's
yeah.
ship them so they make sense. At least even...
Yeah.
It's just tough to play to people. I mean, their bulk audience is people who read most of it.
Well,
there's not many people
know.
Who come in to Colin and say, can I get just Fear Itself 1 through 7? That's all I want. Nothing else.
But
Fear
I think
Itself.
I'm in the minority of people who read every Avengers
title. Oh, you read more than most
Fear
people.
Itself.
I'm not saying that... I'm not saying... By no means am I saying I'm the normal one or you're the normal one here in this conversation.
I actually only read this core miniseries, Fear Itself.
So, but yeah. I mean, do you read any other Marvel or do you just read Fear Itself?
Right. Well, I only read the event books in magazine format. I read everything else in collected format.
Okay.
Right? And then, so...
It's interesting.
Reading,
I would think it would be the opposite. Like, I do everything the opposite. I read issue format of everything, but I like to do the events... In trade format.
Oh, yeah? Hmm. Well, I find that, like, the big spoilers and the huge story beats occur in those miniseries.
You don't want to
and then
oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about those as they come out, but then all of the ancillary tie-ins and the stories going on in each individual title, you know, I like to read those in bulk. I like to stay abreast of those, but... The conversation is revolving around what's going on in that main miniseries.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think my comment is I wouldn't care if it tied into every book like that if it was relevant.
And that's the problem.
Because it's not relevant. No. That's
it's
my
not
a problem.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like problem. I'm reading the same book over again. I'm not really reading anything new that's really tying into the book. I'm just reading especially just a recap of what happened.
The beginning of Fear Itself was replayed in every book. Yeah. That same speech at Asgard was.
We have a customer there that buys every Fear. He's buying every Fear Itself book. And he's not reading it currently, so he's going to read it all later, and he's going to go,
why? I read this. I read
why
this.
Did I do
read
why this? Did I do this? And that's unfair. I mean, I read them all anyway. Yeah. I would rather be reading relevant stories or new stories, but...
I don't know. If you don't like it, why are you buying it?
He's just keeping the loan going.
Habit. Yeah, well, but, I mean, that's...
Well, no, but... No. That could be solved by a psychologist, medication...
No, shush.
I already do both of those, and it doesn't help.
But and the other problem is going to be when these Avengers issues, these seven tie-in issues, are collected in the book. There's not going to be much book there. There's going to be a lot of interviews.
What are they
going to
call that? The Avengers interviews?
Yeah, I don't know. And the one thing that still sits with me is the one Avengers issue where the Hulk fought, or
Red Hulk fought
somebody and
in the head.
Yeah, and then they said, and we never saw him again. It's like, what? Yeah, he's still going on. What are you talking about? Yeah, so.
Well, and I think that's one thing that a lot of us kept playing up with Flashpoint, but I'll bring it up again with House of M. With House of M, they didn't do that with their books. And this is kind of a new thing that they're,
There were a lot of House of M tie-ins.
There were high House of M tie-ins, but they were all their own story. They weren't, retelling of what it is.
But you know what they both had in common?
Why?
They're an alternate universe. Not literally an alternate universe, whereas Flashpoint was altered time. This was altered reality by the Scarlet Witch. So you could easily say, you know what? We're in an alternate reality. Spider-Man is going to be completely different because you don't have to worry about history.
Yeah.
Just like they did with
Batman. But it's not necessarily that they could do that type of story, though, but they could make, as you were saying, it could be more relevant to what's going on and different, because if, I'm not going to read Fear Itself over again, keep hearing the same story. And I think that's hurting them in the long run because you're going to read this and you're going to be like, what's the point of me reading Secret Avengers? Because it killed the Secret Avengers audience.
And here's the other point. Flashpoint, Batman, for example, was a phenomenal book. Pretty much irrelevant to Flashpoint.
Had nothing to do with
but it was a fun story, three issues, boom, you're done.
We're complaining about Marvel doing a miniseries because they stink. Mm-hmm. Because they're irrelevant and they're crappy. They either need to be relevant or good.
Yeah.
Optimally
yeah.
both, yeah. but relevant or good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'd love it even if they were about Fear Itself. That's not a problem. But if it was, it's not new Fear Itself.
It's going to be relevant or good.
It's the same, exactly.
And Flashpoint did that. I mean, all the miniseries, except for maybe Secret 7.
Not all, but I mean, they all played to different,
were good.
To different audiences.
But Aquaman and Wonder Woman, really relevant ones.
Yeah, they actually tied into
it. But yeah, no, they were, it was a fun, that was a fun viewing of your character. Not favorite characters, but characters,
relevant.
Yeah.
Weren't relevant, but they were
fun. Yeah. Whereas just, and it's not even so much, I mean, the minis haven't sold well at all, but it's just too long of a time to derail so many top titles.
But see, here's the thing. This is a debate I always have with myself, and I can never answer it, is would I rather them derail the core Avengers book to put Fear Itself stories in it, or would I rather have a Fear Itself Avengers miniseries?
I just don't think
the Avengers be normal stories.
Well,
because do you ever notice they don't screw with Spider-Man and they don't screw with the Fantastic Four?
Yeah,
those books never have.
And normally the X-Men don't tie in with the big events either.
Those books never have crossovers. There will always be a Spider-Man Fear Itself and a there was a Fear Itself Fantastic Four one shot.
But see, that was the one I thought was actually good. Was
the Spider-Man
Fear Itself
great.
Spider-Man because it actually.
But
it
that
was
so long
story.
Ago.
But did you ever notice it didn't? But you never saw Civil War, Secret Invasion. What was the one after Secret Invasion? Siege or Fear Itself never went into core Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
you never saw that banner on those books. They leave that in Fantastic Four alone.
Yeah,
why do you think they do that?
Core book.
You think those writers
more core than Avengers?
Put down.
I think they
Avengers
have
just around before that.
They might have a. They probably have a better audience. Or bigger audience.
Yeah, I don't
well,
know why.
I think part of it, FF right now, I think it's a big picture for Hickman, and they don't want to derail it. And Spider-Man is...
Has its own event.
Yeah, has its own thing going.
Yeah, and I think...
Not all the time, though.
Because I'm becoming more selective in my reading, I now think I would rather them have miniseries only the core books alone. Because then I could read relevant Avengers stories, and I could decide if I want to read the...
And part of the thing was always, well, you know, we can't have this book going on because, you know, these events are affecting it. But it's like, well, New Avengers is already out, you know, not affecting it, things like that.
I think an Avengers issue came out, Secret Avengers is out.
Yeah. That's part of the problem, I think, is if you're going to do it, you don't want to have an event that you say, well, this event does not affect what's going on, because those people who are reading it go, well, why do I want to read something that isn't affecting what's going on with what I like?
Right.
You want the event to affect what you read.
And you know,
but you also don't want to be on the hook to read an event that's 7 issues, have 10 tie-ins with the titles of the book you read, plus a tie-in in the actual book that's continuing the numbering that you always read. Like, Flashpoint was a huge undergoing. It's 16 minis. But I feel like Fear Itself almost has more minis when you take the books that are ongoing with the miniseries and the actual tie-in. I feel like Fear Itself has more and is doing less.
And you know what? There's so much going on with Fear Itself that you can't really tell what's... And, you know, I think Marvel sometimes thinks that all of their stuff is important, but you can't really tell what is really going to be important. Like, you have all these point issues and stuff like that.
Oh,
and it's just
whoa. Point issues are awesome.
Yeah.
I love point issues. I get every point issue in magazine format.
Just realize that it's not just point one anymore. There's a lot of things you can do with a point.
Thank you, Tom Brevoort.
When they announced the Fear Itself point one, point two, point three, I tweeted Tom Brevoort and said, what's going on with this? I thought point one was new jumping on point. Why do we have a 7.1? Why do we have something at the very end of a series? And his reply was, there are a lot of things you can do with a point.
Ah.
And I think our resident math teacher would argue that the only real point of a point in a number system is a decimal.
Okay. Well, that's enough. Okay. With that, let's move on. Next part, we're on page 20. Now we get into the literary part of the Marvel books that don't sell. I mean, I have my people to get the stand in Dark Tower, but it's not a big seller.
Here's my thing about Dark Tower is I got the first trade, and
they made a huge mistake at the beginning.
Well, yeah, because it was just a retelling of the flashbacks from the first book and the flashbacks.
That was the huge mistake that they made.
And they did do, I believe they did do an arc that was Little Sisters of Eloria, which was like a short story about the characters from Dark Tower, but I've never read it. And I think it's in one of his short story books, which I'm sure my dad has laying around somewhere because my dad's a big Stephen King fan. But I've never read that, so that was interesting to me. But if they did new stories set in that universe,
yes,
and I know
exactly
the single issues had a lot of backup material that were just expanding the universe, and his actual assistant who helped him work on Dark Tower wrote a lot of those backup stories, and they were really cool.
Yeah.
And something like that would be more interesting to me than them just retelling the book.
That was the mistake. I read the first one, and I went, I already read this.
Yep.
Why do I want to read any more of this? Yeah. And I think a lot of people said that.
Breaking news.
Dead air.
Okay. an internet joke. Okay.
Who would win between Captain America and Iron Man? No.
What? Be quiet. Okay, now we're into the Ultimates. And the Ultimate relaunch has been doing really well. So I haven't read the ones that came out today, but it's been better than I thought. Sold out of Ultimate Spider-Man 2. And can't get more, thank you, Marvel.
Well, if you'd order correctly, you wouldn't have that issue.
Well, yeah, I know.
inside of Jerry.
Well, no, the problem is I was able to get more number ones because it exceeded my expectations, but you never know with number two. You never know how many people, especially with a bagged issue, how many people bought two.
And
you
how bad number one was.
Well, no editorial comments. But
we're here to talk
it
about
is,
it.
But I'm talking about something
number
else.
Number two was great.
But you always drop down. Love you know, you assume not as many people that buy number one are going to buy number two, and I assumed wrong this time.
I was skimming through it. I really thought the art was nice.
Sarah really fit the character. Phenomenal stuff.
But then I see they're doing must-haves for all these reprinting 1, 2, and 3, and it's one of those. I just hope it's not a 4-issue story because they did that with X-Force, where the first thing was 4 issues, and they reprinted the first 3.
That's silly.
Why would you do that? So Ultimates.
And I've been reading all the Ultimate relaunch, and I like it. I really didn't want to, because I really wanted to get rid of some books, and I like them all.
How's Ultimates? Do you like Ultimates?
I do like the Ultimate Ultimates.
Really? Oh, the Ultimate Ultimates.
Ultimate Ultimates,
and it's the Ultimate Ultimates and the Ultimate Hawkeye are kind of a crossover.
Yeah, see, I couldn't read Ultimate Hawkeye because it was bagged, where the other ones I read online.
Yeah, so. I remember Hickman saying that there was going to be some cross. Like, well, they're doing this thing, Hawkeye's doing this.
Basically, there's a bunch of disasters across the world that S.H.I.E.L.D. is responding to, and Hawkeye is responding to one, and then that's what his book's about, and then Ultimates is about
The other. If I like Miller's Ultimates, would I like this? I know it's probably a lot different because Hickman has a very, very different writing style.
I think you would like it just because Hickman writes a lot like Morrison.
Okay.
Mark Miller kind of did a greatest hits of the Avengers with his run on the Ultimates.
I think maybe that's why I liked the other Ultimate stuff so much.
Did he write Ultimates too? Because that was really bad.
You thought it was bad? What do you think was bad about it? I thought the greatest superhero commentary ever was in Ultimates 2, whenever Hank Pym forms the Defenders and the Nighthawk character falls off a roof.
He's like, back.
Yeah, what's gonna happen to to a superhero in real life? He's gonna fall off a roof.
Anyways.
Okay.
I like number one. 2 came out today. So hopefully it continues to get good.
Okay. Avenging Spider-Man. No idea what to expect out of this.
That's Joe Madureira, right?
Yep.
Madureira?
And then then we get into Amazing Spider-Man 675 by...
Giuseppe Camuncoli, friend of the podcast.
Now, just interesting notice, these are regular 32-page books that have gone up to $3.99.
Here's a question. Why is Vulture blacked out?
I think that's just a dark costume. I don't know.
It is a dark costume.
It's
a dark
is that the first?
Why does he have wings?
Is that the first time that book has jumped price?
It's, you know, I don't know if it is or not. I always thought they were larger issues, but that's just a regular page book. That's $3.99.
They have been.
I thought 22 pages was $3.99.
No,
Venom 32 is 32 pages and $2.99.
Yeah, as I'm just kind of flipping through, it looks like every book is $3.99.
Well, you know why they held back a little bit. So Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm going.
Right?
Okay, there we go. Wow. Okay, here's Journey into Mystery, 32 pages, $2.99.
Just like
shipping the art in from Italy.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, he just demanded such a high salary, we had to raise the price.
I'm pretty excited though about Amazing Spider-Man coming back because I'm getting kind of tired of Spider Island.
Did you read it today?
No.
He just bought it.
I'm sure it's good. It might be good. I don't
Spoilers
know.
On.
I don't know. I get tired of events really quick because it's just like, you know, I like short stories because it seems like I'm getting more out of them, more characters, different people. And
I like today.
It moves on.
I thought they threw Carnage into the sun.
You know, there was a Carnage mini I did not read. So, and this is by the same artist.
Yeah, it's the same. Guy.
So it looks like this might just be continuing. Carnage
USA. I would say the Carnage mini by those two. If you sat down and read it all in one shot, it is great.
But sadly, it was what 5 issues over a year.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you read it's out. The hardcover's out, and that could be special ordered at Pittsburgh Comics if you're interested.
Where?
You're into that guy, aren't you?
But this looks like the same art, and from the solicit, it looks like it's a continuation of that story.
Clayton Crane.
Okay, now, now we get into Venom, and I've been dropping Venom. People have been really dropping Venom lately.
I like that. So
I can't get too excited about that. Cap and Bucky.
That's Black.
Yeah, that's Frank Avila.
No, I'm trying to figure out who's on the cover of Venom. That's like...
It's Tony Moore, isn't it?
It looks like it's Venom with the Captain America helmet?
Yep. Hmm. With the wings on the helmet. So, yeah, I don't know... Yeah, I don't know what they're going with.
I still like Venom, and I even like the thing where it retold the story of that was an Amazing Spider-Man, because it showed a whole different perspective of that event. So, I know a lot of people complained.
Of what, though?
Venom... Because in Spider Island, you just like they were like, "Oh, bring Anti Venom here," and you see him go, and then you see him show up at Horizon. But in the Venom book, it actually shows the process of him going, getting, and bringing it back.
Oh, I see.
I love stories like that. I love the secret origin of Venom's trip to Spider Island.
You just made that actually sound appealing.
Excited about
that.
I love that stuff. I love comics for that reason.
He brings a lot of cheer into this.
He does.
Colin's the negative one.
Haters. Well, man. Did you see that he's doing the internal one, the insides on Cap and Bucky?
Who is?
Francisco Francavelli.
Oh, okay. So maybe you'll like it now.
They kicked Sammy off. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's going to be an internet outrage.
Okay. And we got some just regular Marvel books.
I like this.
No, I mean, Annihilators, it's doing what it is. Black Panther, people are liking, so I still haven't had a chance to read it. Moon Knight, Daredevil doing Snow Angels. Okay.
Did you see Lady Bullseye? But it's cool. The Black Panther 526 cover.
Yep.
Look at the variant cover.
Well, it makes sense.
Matt's over here wiping the drool from his
nose. I know. Bullseye.
He's doing the cover.
It's one of his best Spider-Man.
Yeah.
How do you say his last name? Frank Avila,
I guess.
Frank Avila, I think. Yes,
Punisher still going. Ghost Rider is losing people left and right.
People should be reading Moon Knight if they're not.
Moon Knight.
Fantastic Four. Old Judgment. My whole concern being that $8, 600 issue.
Really quick, Ghost Rider. Why is Ultimate Hawkeye in Ghost Rider?
I don't know.
That is Ultimate Hawkeye.
I would assume they're just sort of getting their visual styles in line with the Avengers coming out soon. You know, like,
for the movie.
I mean, the Flashpoint Green Lantern stuff, all the Green Lanterns in that tie-in look like the movie Green Lanterns.
Like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I like this FF cover.
I flipped through here, and this cover was like the only thing that really caught my eye.
Yeah, it catches your eye. Like, what is this?
They're alluding to Dot Von Doom being Hitlerish.
Yeah.
We're tying all the podcast conversations together.
I think it's not even Doom that does it. That's Franklin, right? Is that where we're?
But he's kind of like looks like he's saluting Doom, right?
That's the part that's like, wow, what's this?
How does? Short answer. How does FF go to 13 and Fantastic Four come back at 600?
We don't know. Yeah.
That's Marvel's
number. That's Marvel numbering. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to say that this was, like we all thought when it happened, going to be 12 issues and bring back 600, how it is all of a sudden
FF's going to continue and Fantastic Four.
But you can't. How can it be the first 12 issues of one book and 12 issues in another series? Like, how can it be
comic books?
That's creative number.
that goes against all logic.
It destroys all organization of my boxes.
Double up. You better buy doubles.
Yeah. Justin, you know where Enron's accountants went? To Marvel's numbering department.
But I'm just glad I don't have to buy doubles of those and put them in boxes.
Okay, 2 issues of Hulk. Yeah, Hulk's.
Yeah.
No, I mean the numbers aren't good for Hulk, and it's not like this is a jumping on point
if
for anybody.
I drop a book.
Yeah.
You know it's going down.
Well, I was going to say, you never drop a book.
Now, Iron Man 2.0, I thought somebody was coming on with Spencer. I thought...
Fialkov? Okay. Co-wrote the last issue and the next couple, and I guess maybe he's just... Maybe Spencer's really busy writing.
He's picking up a lot of stuff. Good.
I looked today. That is now 6 months late.
Wow. And it's not... It's weird and it's
or it's been 6 months since the last issue.
It's weird and interesting, but I wouldn't say it's great.
Is anybody Victor Von Doom Victor Shield? Von Doom?
Well, it's not out yet.
I will look at the writer and the artist. Yeah.
The thing I don't understand is why Doom is a teenager, but he's dressed as modern.
Well, I think it's telling like an old story of him or something.
But why is he wearing modern day clothes? He's wearing Converse tennis shoes.
I'm not turning that into the catchphrase.
But we'll see when it comes out. Another Thor mini.
I won't buy that.
These. I don't know why they're still doing it. Vengeance is over. I know Nick dearly loves it, but man, I think I sell 2 copies.
Is that Gorilla Bob on the cover?
No, hey, we're working on getting an official Gorilla Bob.
Oh, I thought that was...
Villains for Hire. Now, is Heroes for Hire actually turning into Villains for Hire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now it's into a mini. So that's what struck me as odd, that it's a mini.
Why is the question on the cover?
That's not the question. That's clearly...
That's that chick that was in Hawkeye and Mockingbird. Blue Ghost or...
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Kids books, we can skip. Thunderbolt's still moving along. Legion of Monsters. I've heard... somebody said the reviews were really good on the first one. So it just came out today. So I haven't had a chance to look at it. I will. 2 issues of Deadpool, which is just fine. Because everybody likes Deadpool. Well, the Deadpool
people... Well?
It's been going down, but it's kind of holding steady. I mean, the same people that get it, but when they hit the 4 titles at one point, that cost me a lot of people who
said... down to 2 now, right?
Right, but the people who left didn't come back.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Regenesis, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine in the cover. X-Men.
That cover is so awesome. Who did that cover?
That's Bocciolo.
Ah, my favorite.
Well, wow,
and then more Regenesis, Regenesis. I'm only passing because we don't know exactly what's going on. Regenesis just came out today, so...
I thought that dude was dead.
That dude was dead.
Warpath?
Yeah.
Warpath.
We bring him back.
Now, I'm excited about this. Better. Dark Angel Saga finale.
That's a cool cover.
That has been excellent. That has been really, really good.
All you guys talking about this is, like, creeping me into maybe being interested in it.
It's been really good.
Did you read the
screen on my mantle?
Whatchamacallit?
Yeah, yep. I read Whatchamacallit. It was really good. Wow. But it's even a better candy bar.
It wasn't, so, wasn't as good as Thingamajiggy.
What was the
which is also a candy
Age
bar.
Of Apocalypse?
Yes, thank you.
My Marvel Comics reading experience is, like, scattered issues when I was a kid, and the cartoons that were on when I was a kid, and...
You are an encyclopedia of DC, though.
Yes,
just,
I am.
Just for record, I've never read Age of Apocalypse, mm-hmm. and you're enjoying
it. Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Now, the scary thing is the next page, where they welcome a new artist, which is really making me sad, only because Jerome Opeña, has been fantastic, and I really can't say that I know Robbie Rodriguez. I know he's done stuff. I just
trip.
Well, that's Raphael Grandpa. That's okay. I don't mind the cover. The cover is great.
Really, I thought somebody puked on it.
After reading,
he thought somebody puked on you.
Same vein as Pop.
I know what you mean, though. When I was looking through the Marvel previews, I saw the art difference, but at least just between the covers. I don't know what the interiors are going to look like, but even between the covers, I was like, whoa, like, when did this book become a Vertigo title? Yeah. It looks like very Vertigo-y.
Yeah.
Cam, cool, are you a buddy, is he recruiting people? Because there's a
stop.
Lot of
stop.
Italian
stop.
Names in the article.
Well, they only did, the, yeah, Marvel's CBS all Italian. Italian now. but look at the new artist on X-Factor. Yeah. X-Factor's been so good, and just, I got lucky and I read the point one and the next issue the other day, the one after the other, and it really wasn't a point. He took point one as being the jumping on point for the story, and
that's what it was.
That's all it was. It was just the next issue.
It was just kind of like, all right, you're going to make me write a point one?
Yeah, I'll do it.
It's just going to be the next issue.
Yeah,
so somebody did the right thing.
Yeah. and then this looks
great. Cool cover.
It's a cool cover. The little blurb makes me want to read it. New Mutants scares me a little bit. Rock Back Tour taking on death metal. Okay.
But it's Abnett and Lanny, so...
Okay.
They've been keeping my interest in a book I could care less about.
Then you get to these weird little things. Like, these have all been Regenesis books, but then Wolverine isn't. So is Wolverine not tying in with the rest?
Well, I thought he was... One of the Regenesis books was Team Wolverine, wasn't it?
Well, it is. The main Wolverine book not?
The solo book.
And then... It also doesn't... It's prelude to the biggest Wolverine arc in years. It also doesn't say it's Aaron's last issue. Only my question comes in. They're going to make this big... I don't know, but they're making this big Brian Wood announcement in New York. Mm. And it's something to do with two sets of three claws. So you assume it's going to be a Wolverine book. And my fear is... I hope they don't add another Wolverine book.
Could be an X-23 crossover.
Brian Wood writing that?
He writes lots of female characters.
This seems odd. Okay, maybe it is. Okay, then we have the Ken, drawn by, cover by.
Oh, is it just Sam and Coley?
One day you're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
He should be on the interior.
No, it's Bob Smith. And then, okay, X-23.
Bob.
Astonishing X-Men that I can't make heads or tails of. Only in the sense of, is this current continuity? Is this still its own kind of book? It's been through so many writers, I don't know its purpose anymore.
So I think it's current continuity. The last issue that came out, there was a review online that said introduces a major character for X-Men Regenesis.
Okay.
And he was on the cover of whatever Team Wolverine's book is.
Okay.
Were we talking about Astonishing X-Men?
Yeah. It always was in its own, when Whedon was doing it, it was kind of on its own, which is fine, kind of like how X-Force has been, it's been kind of on its own. They all kind of need to come out and tell us where
it
fits
this
in.
Nightcrawler on the bottom?
Yes. Well, this is...
And he's like...
Right. Right. Everybody's there, but he's confused. That's Wolverine. You know, it's...
Oh, okay.
Cyclops is confused.
He's the short-haired brunette. Looks like Murray Hill.
I don't know. X-Club. Interesting, because I like those characters. I do not like Nick Bradshaw.
Well, he's only the cover.
I know, but he's doing all those X-Men Regenesis covers.
Cy Spurrier.
I don't really think X Club needs his own.
I like Cy Spurrier, so
even a little spin-off book.
Yeah, and this is a perfect book for him because it's Danger in the X Club. So I'm looking forward to that more as on a curious. Yeah. I kind of like this neat fun thing. Magneto, not a hero. Okay. And what, you Deadpool Max too?
I love that book.
There's a strict no overprint policy there is. On all Max titles, as opposed to the strict no overprint
on
policy
every
that
other
Marvel
book.
Normally
right.
institutes.
You got
Hydra
everything.
Bob is on the like motor scooter.
I know.
Thing. That's
I know.
Awesome.
Punisher Max, and then you got a twofer. You got your Deadpool Max, and you also have the Christmas special.
I know. How could you not go wrong with that?
It's a perfect for you.
How can you not go wrong is a good question. How
now,
can you not go wrong?
This does make me laugh that they're soliciting two issues of Kick-Ass in the same book. It's like, wow, this is for the next
they're
6 months.
They're even telling you that...
Yeah.
It's going to be every 6 weeks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, it's funny is the first one's
believe
explicit.
Them. Yeah. Okay, now we're into the hardcovers and the paperbacks. So, yada, yada, yada.
Did Marvel say anything about this Green Logic number 5 being a misprint in the solicit?
Why?
It definitely is.
Because it says pencils and covers by Oeming, and that's not Oeming.
Oh, and it's not written by Bendis either. David Mack. No, that's all David Mack.
Yeah, it looks like
they copied it from Powers. I saw that somewhere in something else. I saw that somewhere when I was looking through this the first time.
Are we going to go all through these?
I just want to highlight a couple things. The Untold Tales of Spider-Man is supposed to be one of the best things ever written, so I'm really happy that they're collecting all
really?
This.
Artwork by local guy.
It's mostly Busiek.
Pat Olive.
Is it?
Yeah. Now, okay, well, the next two pages. They were really pushing this Dark Tower in this Art of Marvel Studios on us, telling us, or making it returnable, giving us little things to print out to have you guys fill out. But $150 hardcovers are really hard.
Well, you know, that's actually 4 hardcovers.
Right.
It's the Iron Man 2, Thor, and...
But it's still $150. That's a hard book to push.
They usually weren't that much.
They're about $40 bucks. Yeah.
Weren't they 50 each? So you're actually
how about that Dark Tower book? Is that regular size? Is it oversized? Is it like... Absolute size? Does it say?
I don't know. I don't remember. I could look, but it's probably my guess. Regular size.
It doesn't say. It doesn't usually. They usually say trim size.
Yeah,
if
right.
It's different.
But that was just a hard one to hard pill to swallow. Then we got some more of the Marvel reprint things. I don't quite get this Avengers with the movie cover.
I hate movie covers.
Yeah,
I didn't
say that. I don't.
Well, no, it's funny because I do. People ask why I don't get certain action figures, and I won't get, like, or even statues that are movie-based.
Right.
Only because their sell time, especially if the movie bombs. I'm just thinking about everybody that ordered in Green Lantern figures, and they're dying with them right now.
Right.
That Sinestro?
Well, that's the animated.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, now we got a Schism hardcover, Fear Itself hardcover.
Oh, you missed Lost in Space. I mean, how many of those are you going to order?
Well, I'm sorry, Lost in Space? Yes, I will order. I'll order one of each.
Really?
Yeah.
One variant for me.
Yep.
And you know, one DC trade paperback that had a movie cover that really turned me off was the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern Secret War.
Yeah.
Origins, because I was like, oh, God, that's not the one I want.
I'm on the lookout for the regular one.
And I don't know how many people will actually want that, unless they're... I don't know, people, they're just coming in because of the movie. They just saw the movie, and they'll sell it just because of that. Maybe the kids or something.
Yeah.
So there are reasons, but I wouldn't overdo it.
Assuming that ship's on time, it'll come out way before the movie.
Which maybe it's good enough, because people have already saw these characters for this in this case.
I think the thing... Sorry.
No, there was just one other. There was one other trade that jumped out at me. No. I'm really happy to see Secret Wars is going to be back in print.
Thought that was cool.
Yeah, because that's been out of print for a long time.
You order the big event hardcovers at 35 and 25.
The big event.
Well, yeah, because those will somebody will. I mean.
Well, I know you don't order all the Marvel stuff anymore.
I don't order all the hardcovers, or I don't order them in hardcovers because like something. You know, like the Moon Knight, will it really sell in a hardcover at $25?
It will.
Or do I just wait 2 months for the paperback that's going to come in at $20?
I have
a
feeling someone would buy one.
Well, then I'll order okay, well, then I would order one. Or he could tell me and I will order one.
Do you think that Fear Itself is going to read better, though, as a trade paperback when it comes out? Or do you think it'll, like, do you think it's going to be one of those?
Yeah.
The wall of two or three will not hit you as bad as you
Because it's been like 6 weeks since the last issue. And it's...
it's... You won't be stuck with that. Like you guys said, there's not a lot of substance to the book. It feels like it could be crammed into four issues. You guys seem to make it sound like...
First batch could
be like a great four-issue series. Like, issues one, two, and three could have almost been one issue.
Yeah.
And if you read it, and you read it all in a row, you're going to be left much more with, five, six, and seven were really good than you are with... Boy, I can't wait to
in
see
all
what they
honesty,
don't accomplish.
Issues for $35 isn't bad.
No, it's not bad. Because
it's got the prelude, and Fear Itself 7 is a 60-page book.
One thing they should, I think, put into it, they are putting Book of the Skull, which was, you know, kind of an origin of what was going on. But they're not putting in the point issues, which seems like they should
that
have.
Seems
the
odd. No, those will probably tie in with those books.
Well, if it's a point,
well,
like,
it can't
I
go
think
in
it's part of 7.
None of the Cap books are tying in with Fear Itself right now. That's for I don't know.
The Cap one,
I can understand if they're not going to put like battle scars in there because that's going to be its own thing. But with these, it's after it's a continuation of the issue 7. So
this has become my problem with collected editions. If they're not going to collect all of the story in one place, I'm
not
interested.
Yeah, I agree.
I will be ordering Mystery Men.
Okay.
I like it because it has
what's cool about Mystery Men.
That's
cool.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by it, and I haven't read it yet.
He's been writing,
that guy has
Black Panther.
One thing that I enjoyed was page 109. Just when I was reading this last night, maybe I was reading it too close. I couldn't figure out what it was saying. The Passass. Then I realized it was Marvel Spider-Man. The PSAs. They're all their little public service books. They're putting into one big collection. But I remember reading that going the Passass to book.
I actually that was the big villain.
Yeah,
Passass.
I actually think I want this just to read it because it seems kind of.
No,
different.
Age of X was kind of a fun story, and I think it'll read much better this than it was in the issues. It'll be nice to sit down and read. And I'm really glad, again, they're getting Days of Future Past back into print.
I'm all in. I'm in for that.
Then the rest of this. Hey, we got another classified poster. Order in lots.
It doesn't even say, like, in any way what it is. Like, why do I care?
It's a poster by Alan Davis. That should be enough.
Can I get this poster?
Yes, you can get that poster.
No, the one that just says classified.
It's probably Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't think they sell it.
Right, but just...
I know, it's ridiculous, but...
Okay, well, we're kind of on a roll.
Carnage, you... Oh, we already talked about that.
Well, what are we
going to
do next?
How about this covered American Vampire?
Yeah, I'm
going to
get me one.
I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's good. Okay, do we want to... Well, let's jump to the main book. Yes.
Okay. Are we just
going to... Yeah, we'll just keep going. Now, do we want to start at the beginning of Dark Horse, or do we... Well, yeah, we can... Dark Horse won't take long.
Okay, I have little things here and there, so...
Oh, it's about... Okay, The Strain. I don't know what it is. It's a dollar issue. I'll order plenty. Although I have to say the variant cover by Steve Morris is one of the more disturbing things I've ever seen.
I think it looks like Animal Man currently.
I hear you there. Angel and Faith and Buffy back on a roll. I'm happy to see they're back because they sell steady. And for the most part, for me, I don't care if a book sells really well. I mean, I'm happy if it sells really well. But I'm much happier if I know that if I order a certain amount of number twos, I'm going to sell a certain amount. There's not a big fluctuation in that. That was one thing DC always had going for it. There wasn't a lot of fluctuation on their books. And Buffy and Angel and these guys are very steady sellers, which is good.
I think DC will get back to that
after. It will. Right now it's chaos, but that's okay. But yeah, the Hellboy, this is the Death of Hellboy book. I'll probably order a couple extra because I think people will be interested in that. Thank you, Adam.
That's a really cool cover of BPRD. I've never read an issue, but I just like the style.
Yeah, Dave Johnson is very good. But yeah, House of Night, I ordered a lot of number one because it looked interesting.
She looks like...
The Goon, very funny. There's a little editorial here on The Goon by Eric Powell.
I did like that editorial.
I like the editorial, but I have to look at him and go, part of the problem is yours. I believe either issue 35 or 36 was the 10th anniversary of The Goon.
Okay.
So that tells me he's putting out three a year.
10th right. anniversary?
Yes.
10-year anniversary?
Yes.
Wow.
So three a year isn't really enough to build a following.
Right. 3.6, technically.
I do hear things about it on the internet. You know, I hear people say, like, oh, The Goon is great. You should read The Goon.
So, but he's talking about retailers do need to order it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have them all on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the trades on the shelf. So if you're interested, you want to try it,
right.
Give it a shot. But he's hurting himself by never coming out of the book. Orchid number one hit today, so we'll see how that goes. It's kind of neat. I didn't realize this, but each issue features new music.
What?
Avail. I guess it's got some sort of download code. So even the first one, it's only a buck. So
Tom Morello. Yeah. Which, yeah, I mean, he's an amazing guitarist. So I'm sure the music is great. But
so Mass Effect, Art of Mass Effect. I don't know. I'm probably not going to order that one. Star Wars stuff sells like crazy. Now, again, a steady seller.
I thought it was interesting that they have a new Crimson Empire series because. Crimson Empire was one of the first comic books that I picked up, like, issue 3 of the first series, and I was like, I have to get the other issues of this. I was just really into the story. I was really into Star Wars at the time, so I like Kirk Kane.
You never get out of Star Wars.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even... I, again...
You're buying, but don't read habits,
like, I don't have time to read the single 32 pages that I bought, let alone the obvious.
Justin's been buying all the Star Wars long time ago on the buses, so I tease him about that.
I'm just
going
to keep rolling. I'm just, once I'm done with a long time ago, I'm just going to go in the Rogue Squadron.
I've been hearing a lot of good things about this Conan, but again, a steady seller. Like, I'll order 9 and know I'll sell 8, which makes me happy.
Roy Thomas, is that Roy Thomas that did, like, Justice League? Wow.
Well, yeah. Okay, Dark Horse Presents, I don't know how that's selling anymore, honestly. And, well, no, I mean, it's tough because there's two covers, and then, you know, if each one drops one, that's two copies of an $8 book, that's a big hit. So that's a toughie.
It's 80 pages for $7.99, which I think is cool, but I mean, it's like an anthology series, right?
Yeah, so if you're not interested in all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what's kept me from buying it, too, because I'm, you know, I don't want to get it and be like, oh, I hate all these stories.
I'm intrigued. Empowered sells quite well. So I'm kind of interested to get this deluxe edition. I just hope they don't shrink wrap it, only because they shrink wrap all the trades, so I don't know what they look like.
I thought Marvel put that out.
No, Empowered? No, it's Dark Horse.
I like the art.
One similar from Marvel.
Very cheap.
I don't do the manga stuff. It doesn't sell. I'll probably do one of these Brian Talbot, Daughter of her Father's Eyes, only because it's Brian Talbot. And I'll order this. I don't remember if I ordered the first volume of the Milo Manara library. Just my concern, a $60 book is a lot to take a chance on. That's about it. I do the creepy, but I don't do, like, the Space Family Robinson and those. Daredevil's tempting of the Marvel classic characters, but I've heard really not good things. And as you look at it, I can kind of see what the people are saying. As they say, it looks like it was gnawed by a beaver. And I can kind of see it. The paint's kind of a little sloppy.
Are you trying to put beavers out of work?
No, but I don't need to buy a figure that's 5 inches tall for $50.
Sean Wheatley has the Spider-Man.
Beavers need the equipment to build dams.
Sean Wheatley, Breakfast of Champions.
Sean Wheatley would ever show up again. Jeez. But
he's an island.
I know.
Well, he should be here.
Okay, now we get to DC. Now, still hard to do. We're waiting for the number twos of DC. You know, we're still reading it, so it's really hard to make judgments on stuff.
Really felt like guesswork when I was going through.
Yeah. And I wonder what happened with Aquaman's trident, because it's obviously gained a couple spikes just one page over.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
What's this Ghost omnibus stuff that they're talking about?
Ghost was a series from Dark Horse a while back. Yeah.
Ghost Batgirl crossover.
Yeah, because they did a Ghost Batgirl crossover.
Colin, this is 5 years.
I know. Oh, so he grew two extra tines on his trident? Okay.
He has a collection.
Fair enough. Who knew?
Stabbing Hal Jordan in the face.
Because they're just meeting.
Because this Superman is
the, you always fight when you meet, when
that's
you first meet.
That's the Atlantean greeting.
Yeah.
To the record, Hal Jordan.
You'll,
like,
never be an Atlantean ambassador.
Powerful person in the universe right now.
But he caught him unaware. He hit him with a wave.
With
a fish.
Took his ring off when he wasn't looking.
He slapped him with a fish.
But I felt like a lot of the DC stuff, like, you know, I put corners down on pages where I was like, yeah, that's interesting, I want to get that, but at the same time, I'm kind of playing it by ear. Like, I already dropped some of the stuff from the 52. I see myself dropping a little more as time goes on, not a whole lot. But
I have to say, I love the Flash cover.
That's a cool cover.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
But yeah, I mean, you're reading them, it's still so hard to make a decision at this point. But I do like how some of them, like here, the Savage Hawkman, the exciting conclusion to the first adventure. So that's neat. It's the first arc is only 4 issues.
Right.
So it's nice. They said a while ago that they're not writing for the trade. So it's nice to kind of see that already. This is going to be 4, but another one's going to be 7. Things like that. So
what's everybody think about the whole Wonder Woman outrage?
Yeah, I know Anatole was not happy about that.
They're,
I don't know.
Zeus, her father, so she'll be a demigod, like basically Hercules. Except
but it makes sense.
It doesn't,
just based on her powers.
It makes sense to me, but it doesn't really affect me because I wasn't into
I'm
the first issue. So
I'm trying to avoid the internet politics behind this book.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait for the reviews. You know, if people say that she gets more involved,
it makes
in her
me not feel empowered because she has a dad. Really,
I think the internet destroys people having an actual idea.
You posted that story about people enjoying stories more when they get spoiled, and I was going to post a comment.
Yeah,
and I forgot.
Yeah.
But my whole counter to that argument, and I know my opinion has no scientific weight because I didn't do my own study. But I feel like the only reason why spoilers make people enjoy a story more is because it removes the nervousness that people have when they're reading a story of saying, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not.
Theoretically, they didn't do a study either. It's only 240.
No, it wasn't really.
Incidents.
Oh, okay. See,
30 books, 8 readers.
Each. I've seen that story doing the rounds lately, and I just think it's kind of bunk. I think people don't give enough. People aren't brave enough to read stories without knowing the ending anymore.
It's just, if you go on the internet, you're going to find somebody who loves everything, hates everything. But negativity is what sells and gets more interest.
Yeah.
Local news, it's what gets more interest. So we can't talk about all the people who are loving what they're doing with Wonder Woman. We have to give all the attention to the people who don't like Wonder Woman.
The vocal minority.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean...
Well, and most of the people that are enjoying something don't have to go on a message board and say, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I like the Captain Atom cover.
Yeah, no, Art German is doing a great job on those covers. My buddy Archer. No, that's his name.
Friend of the podcast.
No, it's Stanley Archerm Lau is his name.
Action Comics is getting the backup.
Yes, and who's writing that backup, Matt?
I don't know. I didn't get there.
It's your buddy.
It's your buddy. Your bud.
Yeah.
Josh?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what's even cooler is that it says it spins out of number 2, and it's about John Henry Irons taking his first steps towards becoming
a hero. Did you read number 2?
I did, and it was cool.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. Now, Superman, interesting. That's the interior
art from the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it even says that, but it's like, okay, we don't have a cover yet.
Now,
this is interior?
No. Superman George, by George Perez.
Keep seeing John... Irons.
Yeah.
Did that make you want to go back and watch the Shaquille O'Neal movie?
No, never. Oh. Ever. I forgot that I ever watched that until you brought it up.
I never
saw it, but one day I was walking around somewhere and there was a Goodwill. I went in there and it was on the shelf and I said, I have to buy this.
No, you don't.
I said, it probably wasn't worth the money I paid for it, which I think was like $1 or something.
Now, next page is Batman number 4. And I'm just going.
Perez is off Superman?
I'm not happy. I'm
ecstatic.
Well, reading this caption makes me want to read this book right now.
Yes.
And which is a really good thing, because most solicits I'm reading, yada, 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 yada. But I'm reading this, you know, the Court of Owls, just knowing what he's done with the history of Gotham type thing, and then the War for Gotham's Soul begins here.
It's sold.
Gates, very Gates.
Yeah.
I love that Snyder's still riffing on that idea. You know, the whole past is present, and Jeremy mentioned, you know, they're bringing back the gothic horror elements. I really, really, really enjoy
it. And I found this very funny that DC would do this with The Dark Knight and Detective, because Detective kind of got slammed for being exactly the same thing that Batman was.
Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Dark Knight was the same where he went to a gala, all the same things happened. And you have cover one... Batman's being like a puppet with ropes, and the next cover he's trapped in vines and his arms are being moved by vines. I still don't know why we need The Dark Knight as a book.
Also, after
Tony Daniel kind of thinks Batman's well endowed.
Hey, the costume.
Hey, what about Chris Burnham on the next page?
I'm so excited.
Not that I even looked at that area, man.
You're overdoing it.
I've been waiting for this Batman Incorporated Leviathan Strikes.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled that it's Chris Burnham, because I really do like Chris Burnham.
I do.
Friend of Big Bang Comics, who did a signing down there. So
I'm not. Yep. Batman Incorporated is going to get a series.
Yes, but this is a one shot.
This is a one shot.
But it's an 80-page one shot.
9 and 10. Yes, this is 9 and 10.
This is kind of to get you ready for them bringing out later on.
I presume parts of this are going to be different because number 9 was solicited as Stephanie Brown as Batgirl in Britain.
Which she'll probably be in this.
Which I think she's going to be in it. I think they said she's going to be spoiler again.
Okay.
So that's interesting to see. Also, I'm interested to see how this is going to lead into Batman Leviathan, which is the 2012 series. This is going to be 12 issues. But
obviously going to lead being called Leviathan Strikes.
Right, exactly. But I'm just excited to have more Grant Morrison, Chris Burnham art. And see where that goes.
Did anybody else read The Penguin last week?
Not yet.
What a good book.
Really? Was it good?
Yes.
Good.
Really good.
Good things.
That was The Huntress.
Yeah. Good. Batwing, I'm still liking this, and this awesome. Cover doesn't give me any reason not to like it.
It's cool art.
It's very and I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's not Photoshop. It's not.
Does Chris Cross jump a lot?
No.
Oh, this is different because Ben Oliver. Okay, Chris Cross is doing the interiors now. That's interesting. I didn't notice that before. I get what you were saying.
Batman Robin.
You know, I'm most of the way through the current Batman
and
Robin.
Cool cover. First issue.
Or the second issue.
Oh, the second. That came out.
I'm not liking it too much. Yeah.
So, I love Tomasi writing Batman. I don't know why. I love it. I love him on Green Lantern Corps, not so much the newest run. And I love Patrick Gleason's art. I love all the detail he gets into the cities and the bats and everything.
You know, a lot of the DC books, I'm just getting into the covers.
But then you get to the...
Batman 4 looks amazing.
The Firestorm, that's a really cool
looks
cover.
Now this Batman and Robin looks really cool.
But then you get to Birds of Prey. And it's not a bad cover. I like the cover. Here's my problem. Everybody's face is the same.
Because it's David Finch.
I understand.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no difference between what's her name? Starling and Batgirl.
Yeah.
I mean,
just a smear.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so similar.
Batgirl's nose is a little bigger.
Yeah.
Not by much.
I had heard that Gail Simone didn't know that Batgirl was going to be guesting in this book.
Oh.
I don't remember where I read that from, but I remember that it was news to her when the solicit came out for this, and they said, you know, Batgirl's going to be in Birds of Prey number 4, and it's going to be a shocking change, and Gail Simone was like, I'm sorry, what?
Technically, none of these people were birds.
I don't really anticipate it's going to be a huge change, but we'll see what happens.
Wasn't that the whole thing about Birds of Prey was all the characters were named after birds?
No. Huntress isn't a bird.
I thought a lot of them had a lot of...
Batgirl's not a bird.
That's
not a bird.
They did have a bird character, and that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think that's much more of a play on.
Black Canary. Was that it?
Birds was more of a reference to them being female.
Yes.
But Chicks of Prey really didn't play.
Yeah, that bird.
I thought there was a male character in the...
Like, I already do. Doesn't matter. I can deal with it. Yeah. Catwoman, Batwoman, booyah.
That Catwoman cover is great.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that Neil Adams is going to do his thing. They want him to finish Odyssey. This book is just so strange. Like,
just
why?
Put it in the, just buy yeah, it, bag just, it, board
no,
it, don't
no,
worry
no,
about
I'm
it.
I'm not going to do that. I just don't understand why it's...
Don't read it, Justin. Yeah.
I'm not going to.
No. Batwoman, I'm excited.
But I'm halfway in. What am I going to do now? Well, either got to sell or...
Technically, that volume ended.
It didn't end. Let's not kid ourselves.
But
anyway.
Batgirl, great Adam Hughes cover.
That's a cool cover.
Red Hood and the Outlaw is another internet sensation. We'll see where this goes.
Who knows what's happening?
It looks like she's about to have sex with this alligator-looking guy. No, I'm kidding.
Bleep. Oh, I was like,
I'm kidding. Bleep, thank you. Now, I saw this cover.
Can you give me a warning?
Now, this cover of Nightwing gave me instant flashbacks, only because when I started reading Nightwing was 1 year later.
Right.
And the whole 1 year later storyline was Jason Todd was being Dick, and he was wearing the Nightwing costume, and he was going off killing people, and Nightwing was being accused of it.
Yes.
And it looks like that's exactly what... Now, it might not be Jason Todd, but someone, you know, same exact thing.
It seems like it's playing into this plot point from Nightwing number 1 and Batman number 1, where they said Dick Grayson is Gotham City's deadliest killer.
Right.
No one knew it. So maybe someone's impersonating him. And it better not be a clone, because if it's a clone, I'm going to be angry.
Well, but that's what I'm just saying. The 1 year later Nightwing that I started reading was someone was impersonating him. So it's like...
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah. It smacks someone.
Well,
it
actually, in the last...
Yeah, well, it says Batgirl's appearing.
And in the last Batman Beyond, I think it was that short series, was Dick Grayson as a clone. And he was
going after people
as the new Hush.
I don't talk about that.
Okay. Green Lantern, looking forward to reading the new one that came out today. Green Lantern Corps. That's a good cover.
How's he making the yellow construct with the green?
He's not. He's striking. He's breaking it. He's hitting it.
Jeez.
We finally got Larf Lees, and he's stealing all the lanterns. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Wait,
you know, like the cover core?
I was imagining that Larf Lees sounds
like
Grover.
That's cool.
Larf, I do like the green katana.
Yeah.
Looks like that cover of Wolverine Weapon X.
Oh, yeah.
But then in New Guardians, the secret behind the stolen rings will be revealed, and the status of the Green Lantern Corps, or Kyle Rayner within the Corps, will be changed.
Obviously, forever. It's Larf Leaf.
It's
not really a secret, is there?
I was surprisingly happy with that book.
I liked it.
As Red Lantern, Shade.
Green Lantern, New Guardians?
Shade looks cool. See, that's the thing. I've never read any Starman, so I feel like Shade would kind of go over my head. I feel like I need to go back and reread
it. So Colin and Jeremy are supposed to tell me.
Yeah, we'll read it. Well, I'm reading it.
Okay, all right.
Without
knowing. He's reading it as someone who loves Starman. I'm reading it as someone who only read the first two trades of Starman. All right. So, Justice League Dark, I'm eagerly awaiting.
That's a sweet cover.
Swamp Thing also was, man, is that a good book.
I think I'm liking Swamp Thing more than Animal Man right now.
Yeah, they're both good. They're both Animal good, Man is really good.
Yeah, they're both good.
Frankenstein, I'm not 100% sold on the second issue. So, I Vampire, very much looking forward to that.
Which book had the hippos in it?
That was Animal Man.
That was that Animal Man? Yeah. That was crazy. I was happy they didn't add on to that panel.
I noticed that seems to be a weird theme. All the horror writers in DC are relying on something that John Rosen did in Zombie, where... during the opening weirdness of Zombie, he mentioned that, like, all these chickens were laying eggs that hatched, like, something weird. Like, they hatched scrambled eggs or something. And then in Justice League Dark, he said a bunch of cows gave birth to meat slicers. And now, in Animal Man, they had hippos giving birth to whatever those awful monsters were. Just whenever something gives birth in DC comic, just run the other direction.
Animal Man kind of looks like Jonah Hex.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Get a little messed up there.
But then that's a great cover of Demon Knights.
That Frankenstein cover looks very 50s movie-ish.
Oh, it's supposed to. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, it's definitely
supposed to. Oh, it's J.G. Jones. We haven't seen covers.
Stormwatch? No, he's been doing all the... J.G. Jones has been doing all the... Mr. Terrific.
I forgot to ask, how is Stormwatch 2?
I liked Stormwatch 2. I thought it redeemed it.
Did it pick up? All right, maybe I'll get it then.
Big double thumbs down.
Really? All right. Well, nice little opinion there.
So, see?
All right.
I'm in the
car. You know, and that
cover for 4 leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
I haven't read 2 yet, but this cover for 4 is not really...
Because it's Chris Burnham, I think it's an awesome cover, and that makes me interested.
Well, and that's not the final cover.
Well, never mind then.
Yeah.
That Stormwatch cover? That's not Burnham.
That's absolutely Chris Burnham.
Art and cover by McDonald's.
Right, but that's Chris Burnham.
But that's not the final cover. That is, in fact, Chris Burnham's art. Thunder Ages number 2 by Nick Spencer. That's coming back.
With an awesome
Fraser Irving
cover.
He's great.
I'm slowly making my way through his Modern Masters.
Modern Masters book, yeah.
When he cited Colin as an influence, I went, oh, you're awesome.
You clap.
Grifter, not a big fan. Deathstroke, number 2 is going to have to sell me on that. Voodoo.
I like number 1.
Of what?
Deathstroke.
I did, but I need to know where it's going. Mm. Suicide Squad, I want to like. I hope number 2 is good.
Yeah.
OMAC, I still haven't read number 2, but I want to.
Number 2 was really great.
Okay.
It was fun.
Good, but it wasn't as lighthearted as the first one. I thought it was a more serious book.
There was a tiny info dump about just sort of like establishing what's going on.
Well, and the end made me excited, right?
Oh, yeah. The end was, yeah.
Max Lord checked me.
Okay.
I was like, I'm in.
I'm in for this as long as Keith Giffen's with it.
Okay, then we got the War books. All-Star Western, which...
Oh, that cover, Man of War, is awesome.
All-Star Western, Jonah Hack doesn't really look like Jonah Hack. Like, it looks like it's a mustache all the way down.
Well, I think it's the shading on his lip almost. Yeah, but
it's kind of hard to see.
But still, I'm excited that through issue 4 we still have Moritat.
Yeah.
Which makes me very happy, because I was worried he was going to leave quickly. Yep. So that's cool.
That's getting a backup too, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to... It's not in this one, so I don't know... unless the Barbary Ghost is the backup.
Okay. Also introducing the Barbary Ghost.
Now, we have a new Ray. Interesting. Gray and Palmiotti. Only interesting because I think Quesada did the original Ray.
I think he did.
So, that's just kind of interesting.
But
And Jamal Igel doing it.
Who the heck is the Ray?
I don't know much about him. I just know he was a character who had solar powers.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is a completely different version of the Ray from the previous DC.
I'm glad to see Jamal Igel back. He's a solid artist.
Yep.
Teen Titans. And then I noticed John Rosen is still being shown on Static Shock. I thought he would have been gone by now since he left.
I thought he was done with issue 3. I thought that was his last one. But
yeah.
So. Now, see, that's Gorilla Bob.
Maybe we'll seal that.
It looks like Cygor.
Hawk and Dove, that's not much of a cover. But I'm just reading this going, following last issue's Ultra Brawl with Condor and Swan. I'm like, really? Condor and Swan versus Hawk and Dove?
They introduced that number 2.
Wow, it's kind of lame.
When they killed Swallow.
That is kind of lame.
I'm not kidding. Legion Lost, really? Okay. Legion, Legion Origins. I'm not a Legion guy.
The only thing Legion related that excited me was that news that Andy Kubert is going to join Grant Morrison on Action Comics 5 and 6 for a Legion story.
Yeah.
Other than that, take a Legion, Legion backup.
Or okay, Legion? Now we're getting to some of the...
Two-issue story arc.
Yeah, some of the DC superheroes, yeah.
What I will say about these DC Comics Presents books, I like them. I like the format. I don't mind $7.99 for 80 pages. I like that they are printing, you know, they've got Legion of Superheroes number 2, which is all the backup stories that Geoff Johns wrote about the Legion of Superheroes and Adventure Comics. They've got the Captain Atom backups from the Superman book. But there are 3 Batman books, and I would rather see them branch out into something else. And I think that's
these are reprinting stories from Legends of the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat that they're doing that only in that...
But there are so many
those books now. Yeah, but they never would have been put into a trade or anything.
I don't know. Yeah. All 3 of those covers like make me want to read every one of them.
Well, good.
But see, the story, like the stories don't really interest me that much. It just seems like normal Batman story. It doesn't really seem like a spectacular Batman story.
Okay.
But I mean, look. I mean, the night vision, thing, and the 50s Batgirl, and then.
I would like to see them reprint more, like, if they're going to do backup stories, I'd like to see them reprint more backup stories. Or just say, you know, instead of doing a monthly issue, why not do, here's your story, and you have 80 pages, and then your whole 80-page story, well, that's an awesome wallet. And
I know, isn't it?
Sorry to derail the conversation, awesome? Everyone at home. Colin has an awesome Flash wallet. Where did you get that?
The Warhol, when I went to see the Alex Ross.
Oh, my God, I got to go there.
But it's the cover of Flash number 1, and they're just there's a trade of Flash, so I just pulled it out.
Oh, there you go. But I would like to see them do something where instead of saying, you know, we're going to reprint 80 pages of books, let's do an 80-page original story.
Yeah, they can. I guess it's easier for them to do these because it's paid for. Yeah.
It's done.
But I like them. They're good.
Yeah, but now I'm excited. On page 120, we have the Catwoman, Ed Brubaker, Darwin Cook reprint.
I've never read it, but I'm excited.
And the first Resurrection Man. Now, I'm not sure how far the original story went, but 1 through 14, I think that's great.
37?
Wasn't went that many issues, really?
35, okay. 36, 37.
Cool. Yeah. DC Universe by Alan Moore hardcover. I'm wondering why, because we already have the paperback. Unless there's more, and it looks 304 pages, I'm going to assume there's more.
It says it has Vigilante.
Paperback's not that big.
No.
This one includes
it's got the Wildstorm
stuff.
Yeah,
it's got the Wildstorm stuff, yeah. Vigilante 17 and 18 and Death Blow by Blows.
Okay. Yes. Stormwatch hardcover. I'm excited about that too. Yeah. It looks like hopefully that's the whole Ellis run. So that'd be cool.
37 to 47. Now, if I wanted to start with Ellis's Stormwatch Authority Planetary, should I start here?
Yes.
Start? All right.
Although I started with Authority and then went back and read this later, and I think I appreciated it more by doing it that way.
All right, maybe I'll do that.
But that's only the way I did it, so I can't...
I started with Stormwatch 37, and I liked it.
Okay.
I haven't got to the Authority yet, but I liked Stormwatch starting there.
Okay. And then we just have stuff. Okay. Then we get Johnny DC, now we get to Vertigo, and like... I'm sorry, what?
I was going to say, about the Johnny DC, I picked up one issue of All New Batman Brave and the Bold, since our conversation last week was about, you know, all ages books.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun, and I wish they would do an all ages book that was in continuity.
Okay.
It was great. It did in one issue what it would usually take like 6 issues of Batman to do. He teamed up with Jonah Hex and went back in time and fought Ra's al Ghul. That's
because Morrison's not writing it. I mean,
but all the Morrison elements were there. I mean, he went back in time, he fought Ra's al Ghul. Carter Nichols was in it. He used his time machine technology. I was excited. I might pick up more of that because it was good.
But yeah, it's one American Vampire in the 50s, and then the next hardcover. So
that's a lot of comics in that hardcover too. Yeah. That's 12 to 18, and then the miniseries. That's really cool.
Wow, then, that's a lot for $24.99. Yeah. That is tremendous.
Sign me up.
And then we got the final issue of DMZ. Very interested to see how that rips up. As well as Flex Mantello that I've never read. So I've always wanted to read this. It's never been in print. I've never had copies come in.
And it's Grant Morrison.
I'm very interested to read it, but it's only 4 issues, and they're doing this, you know, deluxe hardcover. And I would wait for a paperback edition, but I don't know if they're going to print it again since they had so much trouble printing this one.
Mm-hmm.
The original argument was, you know, Charles Atlas sued them, and they weren't allowed to print it or something. But
that eye zombie cover.
It's something that read something that's not in print. Ever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hellblazer Annual. Yay.
I think the Vertigo.
Oh, cool. 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 I love those books. Yeah. I always get all those in, so I'm happy. Although that seems a little light, 4 issues. But that's okay.
That's about what they charge for their DC Comics Presents stuff.
Yeah, but normally when they did those before, it was $5, and it was like 6 to 8
oh, really?
First
wow.
issues.
Full color. The first ones were black
and
white.
No, oh, okay. They weren't black and white.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting. Those are cool jump-on points.
Yeah, no, those were great. And I'd just give them to people, and then they'd come back in and buy the trades, which was good for me. Yeah. Okay, some action figures.
And IDW.
And, yeah, we can get through IDW, and then we'll wrap up.
Oh,
that okay? It's quarter after 9.
Right now.
No, we'll hit IDW. Now, IDW is doing something really weird this month. Well, first you're getting to look at... This is Dirk Wood. Now, just imagine a guy who's been smoking his whole life and...
Yeah, talks like this.
But that's Dirk. But Dirk's a good guy. But
on the cover?
Yeah, well... that's Dirk, yeah. So, the reason, instead of getting the drawing of Dirk, we're getting the photo, because they're doing all photo covers.
I see.
So,
Dirk Wood?
Dirk Wood's the marketing guy for IDW.
Was he a former adult star?
No.
Dirk Diggler.
No. But just so it's interesting, all these books have, you know, the action figure covers, all the G.I. Joes. Interesting. I don't know how it's going to go over.
I still have that Cobra Commander and those Snake Eyes Storm Shadows.
There's a scratch-off cover to
G.I. Joe 8.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, scratch off to reveal who it is.
Who do you guys think it is?
I couldn't even offer a guess.
You and Matt. Matt, you read G.I. Joe?
Yes, I do.
I think you two are the only two who read it. I mean, Dan's not here, and I just started.
I bet it's Destro.
Okay, now Memorial. Chris Roberson.
You should probably help your orders on that, because a lot of people buy double covers.
Okay.
I think.
Page 148.
This looks nice.
Yes. One of these will be going home. So place your orders early.
John Romita's Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition.
Yes. Oh. Very
that
nice.
Memorial, you said that. I missed it.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they say how many of those they're going to print?
These, no.
Probably to order.
100?
Yeah, but they don't print a lot extra because they're big.
It just says please inquire about price and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 125.
Didn't you say they canceled the last two? Mm-mm. The Wally Wood and the...
Mm-mm. No, Sean did that because the company that he ordered it through, I guess maybe DCBS or one of those, who had it at like 50% off, well, we're not getting them at 50%. You know, we're not getting much of a discount on these. Yeah. So that they canceled his order only because they couldn't do it. But yeah, I want this one really, really, really bad.
You should have really taken that Walt Simonson one, because you're going to buy the other three.
Well, that's okay. I didn't get the Rocketeer one either, so I'm not worried about that.
See, Justin would have bought all five.
Yeah.
Over 40.4%.
Turtles.
I love the new Turtles series.
I like how IDW is really, like, reinventing classic things.
Yeah. Godzilla. Now, Magic. Including a special new card, a special card in each issue, an alternate art Magic the Gathering card.
Ooh. Only I was so interested in
there
that.
You go.
Are those for money, Justin?
I don't know, but I mean, we'll see what's going on here.
Is it a different card in every issue?
No, I don't know, but maybe every issue. But I mean, like the first one, every book's gonna have the same card.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say Justin might have to buy like 100 copies.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd like that, but. Doctor Who, still kind of going. True Blood's doing okay, but losing people.
Did you guys see who's taking over Doctor Who? Apparently not in this issue.
Hey, Josh Fialkov?
Yep.
Lock and key that everybody likes, but nobody buys.
I hear it's a good one to do in trade. But
even those don't sell.
Really?
John Sable Freelance Omnibus, but that's just me, because I'm that guy.
My boss bought the fourth one over the weekend. He loved it.
Hmm. Okay. Lock and key. Good. Okay. Hey, let's cruise into Image. And a $100 hardcover that will be going home. Madman 20th Anniversary Monster hardcover. I'm just sad.
You said $800 trade.
Okay. No.
That's what I heard.
$800. $100.
I've always heard very good things about Madman, but I've never read it. I don't know the concept.
Colin just
great show on AMC.
I just like the art, because I love Mike Allred art.
Yeah, I like Mike Allred.
And then it was funny. On my Facebook page, not Matt. Nick posted, you know, had I heard about, what is that, Love Is All There Is, or, I'm sorry, I forget.
All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love, and said, you know, have you heard about this book? And I said, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but I just lumped it in with all the Image number one big hype books that don't amount to anything. And we got into a little discussion, like the Activity, Gem of the Month, Nathan Edmondson. Well, that's great. Nathan Edmondson's also doing Who Is Jake Ellis? And issue number 5 was 4 months late.
Oh.
And when you're doing a mystery... A spy mystery, you can't do 4 months between the last two issues.
It's a cliffhanger, dude.
Yeah, but way too long of a cliffhanger. Could you remember what was going on in the last issue?
I did hear that was a Diamond shipping issue, not an Edmondson
for
issue.
4 months?
It's what I read. I don't know.
4 months shipping issue?
Sounds like Nathan Edmondson's been hitting the blogs.
So, but and then
it was on his Twitter.
But then I also mentioned things like Infinite Vacation is now, the last issue came out in April. You know, it shouldn't take 6 months to get an issue.
I think Spencer fell off the wagon or something. For
maybe, but it makes me look at a book like this and go, oh, this could be hype. This could be the greatest thing ever. If number two doesn't come out for 6 months, the point is moot.
I like the art, but I skipped over the preview the first couple times I went through the book because even though the art is pretty, nothing exciting really happens in the art.
Yeah, and the coloring isn't not a whole lot.
Some talking heads and then a plane takes off. And I was like, all right, next.
Yeah, Last Battle one shot. I don't know. I'll order a couple.
The art looks nice.
Jingle Bell. Last thing I remember about Jingle Bell is the last book was canceled. Huh. So that's all I really remember about Jingle Bell. A Witch Doctor. That one's got some buzz. That one people are enjoying.
It is. It's very good.
Chew. We'll talk about Chew.
That's Paul Dini. And the Jingle Bell?
Yeah.
I think he created it.
Oh, the Infinite Volume 1.
I bet
only $9.99. Hey, guys. Jumping on point.
First four issues.
Little Depressed Boy Volume 0? How's that work?
It looks like just an oversized one-shot.
It's a trade paperback. You know what TP stands for?
Yeah, but it's 96 pages, so it might just be all... Or it might have been online stuff, too. For the first time in print,
This Officer Officer Down thing, are they kind of borrowing a page from Butcher Baker? Is it related? Or I don't follow Butcher Baker.
It's Joe Casey. So
yeah, same writer.
Okay.
That's Burnham. Old. That was out before, and this is just being re-solicited with extra stuff. Now it's Chris Burnham, so...
Oh.
Is Chris Burnham drawing Buddy Baker?
No, I don't know who's drawing Butcher Baker.
Butcher Baker, whatever.
But, yeah, then a couple Spawns. Mm-hmm. I like this Super Dinosaur Deluxe Coloring Book. $5. That's I like
how
that.
How's this working? Red Wing Trade?
Yeah.
It's going to ship on time?
Maybe they'll resolve
it. I'm kind of... Has anybody read Ron Mars Shinku?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because I like Ron Mars, but it's vampires, and... I'm kind of mad on vampires.
Two, and I haven't seen three, and it's been months.
Really? Because this is supposed to be issues 1 through 5.
Or maybe I read the first three and haven't seen four.
Could be.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Walking Dead 15, booyah. It's like printing money. Now, and then you get something like this. The regular one comes out, this Rise of the Governor comes out next week. From what I understand, it's already at Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. If they'll sell it. Oh, wait, it's not a DC book. It looks like I'm the only one selling DC trades right now. But $75 for a 320-page prose novel.
They'll still sell it.
It seems like a limited edition for $125.
Yeah.
Jesus. This is the deluxe slipcase edition.
Is that a reprint?
I don't know what that is.
That's the deluxe slipcase edition that's $75.
So I understand. It's still a novel.
But still, yeah.
Exactly. Paper,
But this is a collector's market, you see. And it's polybagged because it's got its own slipcase.
Norm Mackenzie Smith. Yeah, I don't know what that is, Matt.
The cover's cool. It looks like a 50s.
Yeah.
Like Popular Mechanics kind of cover.
Yep. Witch Doctor Volume 1, good, good, good. Although that's weird that they're not including that Zero from the Walking Dead issue.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
But that's
the
just
price
me.
Is good.
Yep. Now we're just getting into the regular issues.
Four issues.
Regular stuff. Some good, some not so good.
27-second set.
Have you been keeping up with Pigs, Matt?
Yeah, Pigs 2 was good. Pigs 2 was good.
Blue State 8, number 6 just came out today, right?
So, here's a question, and this is me being behind in the wagon. How did I not know that they were putting out the back issues of Walking Dead weekly?
Because I stopped ordering them after about 12, because nobody was buying them. The problem is, it's just reprints of the issues for the same price.
Yeah, that's what I've seen, but I thought that might be a quick way to catch up.
You're better off getting the trades.
That's what I was thinking, too.
The premium is a great price, too. 48 issues.
Yeah, that's a good price to do it.
Doorstop.
It is, but it's good.
That hash cover looks pretty sweet.
Well, there we go. We got through the front. We got through the biggies. Mm-hmm. Maybe next week we'll hit the back of the book.
That's cool.
Because I really just tried to breeze through this last night and nothing stuck.
Spirit Self next
week? Oh, that's a fun movie.
Spirit
okay.
Self
next week. Sorry.
Last of the Greats was really good.
Was it? Okay, yes. I didn't get to that yet.
Think a family of Superman-powered people come to the United States. Or come to the Earth.
Huh.
And all but one of them are good. So, I think there's six characters, five are good. One's like kind of just goes off and isolates himself, and then the other five die.
That's awesome.
And then they go ask the loner for help. It was really cool. I really liked it.
Okay. Next week, yeah, we'll finish that. Maybe we'll talk about what we've liked from the last couple weeks. And that's it. So we'll talk to you next time. Hey, we got in under 2 hours. Woo-ha.
Cod piece.
Ah! Ah!
It's done.
Oh, wait, I didn't stop it. I just marked it.
You're in.